But I'm Bitterwig, January 7th.
Maps lines are kind of a mess. So
what's that? Oh, is that
maps with the power outage downtown?
Oh, I didn't know there's a power outage.
So the trains are all screwed up. So I don't know if Gary and Tom or anybody else were in the trains. Might be a little late.
Yeah.
I didn't see it now.
Hello.
Hi, Bill. How are you?
Hey, Bill. We're still waiting for Gary and Ed and Tom. Might be a little bit, but I heard the max lines are screwed up.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thanks for getting the phone number, Mike. I wasn't sure whether that the one versus Marvin has the appetite.
Yeah, that was my. Marvin said he'd get a conference line for me, and I didn't specify the morning time as well, so that was my fault. Sorry about that.
Okay.
We need. I mean, we have years of nighttime video at something. Certainly at Bonneville. I'm not sure about McNair.
Do low release for the sensor.
But we're doing it in the Lamprey, so we have the stock.
So what's so the fourth one?
That's going to be more time.
Insider for a while.
The model certification EC expired.
But I know how it works.
Oh, really?
Based on Board 2007 taking over. And you can read EC.
Thought maybe Max will get them. Did you hear it broke down for the Blazer game the other night? After the Blazer game? There was a one going eastbound, and it stopped at the convention center, and the doors locked up. And then the fast trains up all the way back there to town, and all these people would have been out of the Rose Garden, and they were all waiting to get on the train. And they weren't moving. And even back the yellow line. The yellow line.
The previous EC was replaced by the language in Florida, but I can't find the
book. Let's go ahead and get started. Does anybody need an agenda? Just pass them around. Take one if you need it. There's a new note taker in town, so I hope you get those out a little more quickly this time. Thank you, Tammy. And she is recording you, so I should inform you that you're being recorded. So
quality assurance for Linda.
Take back everything.
All right.
Email.
Email. I don't know. I've got them. Got both. So, I guess first let's go around the room, do introductions while we're filling out our sign-up sheet. Mike Langsley, Corps of Engineers.
Tammy Mackey, note taker.
Kyle McCune.
Kyle McCune, Hydraulic Design, Portland District.
Jason Sweet, DPA.
Ed Meyer, National Marine Fisheries Service.
Gary Fredericks, National Marine Fisheries.
Gene Kowalski, PNNL.
Dave Hemernick, Structural Design 4.
Bob Gordy, Project Bio, Roswell.
Randy Lee, Hydraulics 4.
Brian Mason, Structures, Portland District.
Lori Ebner, Hydraulics Design, Portland.
Jim Roth, Northwest Power and Conservation Council.
David Wells, U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service.
John Tackley, Corps of Engineers, Portland District.
Jim Schwartz, Corps of Engineers, Portland District.
Sean Austin, Hydraulic Designing Corps. George Padilla, Corps of Engineers.
Doug Bowes, Corps of Engineers Division.
Gordon Hanson, Corps.
Sean Rarsich, Corps Orville.
David Clarkson, Corps.
From where?
Corps.
Which Corps?
And on the phone?
Where are you from?
Don't have one with no history.
Okay. So we passed the agenda around. Any additions, anything we're missing? Or I mean, we can take them at the end as well. But and then the other thing, I had sent out the notes from the last meeting. Were there any comments or corrections?
Okay.
I'll walk through the action items. I only had two action items from the last meeting. One was Bonneville Washington Shore Ladder. I was to send out the DDR for review to Fitterwig and then set up a meeting in November to go over the, I think it was a 50% DDR for the Washington Shore Adult Ladder Lamprey improvements. So we did that. We had the meeting. We'll have a presentation on it today on where, you know, an update on where we're at and what we're working on. The other one was I was asked to coordinate with Walla Walla to set up an ice harbor test turbine meeting to update Fitterwig on where we're at with the ice harbor contract and what we're doing. I had talked to Walla Walla, Martin Ahman. I don't know if he's set that up. I've not seen the date or the coordination on the meeting yet. So
I don't think he has, but
okay.
What will that entail, Mike? Ice Harbor Test Turbine.
This is the Corps BPA collaborative.
No, I understand what it is, but what is it?
So
a field trip to Ice Harbor or something?
No, this would be a meeting to talk about kind of the status of the contract we have sent out on working with the industry that is now incorporate what we've learned about the modeling study and the pressure studies and how that's going to get incorporated in what a test turbine design.
Okay.
We have had a couple of trips down to Erdick to look at the physical model and have, you know, made some modifications to the draft tube, stay vanes, wicket gates, and those kind of things. And so I think that's what you're looking for.
It is, yeah. I asked for that in Walla Walla. It's time to have a check-in just to see what's going on. Several months, actually. About a year.
I'll speak to that here when I talk about it.
Okay. I'm going to, we'll start with the Dell spill wall. Steve Schlenker is down in Utah. He must be on vacation, and he's asked if we could move him up the agenda. So I might try, if he gets on the phone, I might try and bump that Washington Shore presentation up if folks are okay with it. But let's go in order here until we hear from Steve, I guess. Well, Pat's not here for the spill wall extension.
Yeah, I can speak for Pat.
Davis here, yeah.
Yeah, once again, my name is Dave Hermnick. I'm the technical lead on the spill wall project. And got a quick construction update for you. The wall has been placed its entire length up to the jacking level. And the jacking level is 2 feet below the top of the wall's height. And with that, we have installation of the rock anchors that hold the wall down during the spill. And with that rock anchor installation, we have about 50% of the rock anchors installed into the remaining length of the wall. With those 50% being grouted, the first stage grouting to hold them down into place. So we're making good progress on the rock anchor installation. And then what comes after the rock anchor installation is the stressing of the rock anchors to give it the compressive force to clamp it down to the bottom. And stressing operation is about 25% complete on the remaining portion of the anchors that need to be installed. So the construction is moving forward nicely, no major hiccups. It's a lot better than last year, as we said in past meetings. And we are projected to be done this season, so it's looking good. So that's it from a construction update. There was a modeling trip that was down to Erdick, as many of you know. And if I can put Lori on the spot, maybe she can go ahead and speak to that real quickly with what they found out down there.
When we went down to do the model trip, our primary focus was how to spill through bays 1 through 8 for low flows. We have a minimum gate opening of 4 feet established for the Tanner gates at the dowels for egress and mechanical injury concerns. So when you have low flow, we needed to reduce the number of bays that we were using. We got an extremely pleasant surprise. We can actually utilize bay 7-8 and shut bays 1 through 6 off and have it look reasonable. So that being said, we were able to develop some pretty good spill patterns down to some pretty low total rivers. We still have one action item to follow up with the region, and that is to provide some velocity information for the higher flows for the adult ladder concerns on the north side. So we are in the process of scoping that out and figuring out the best methods to give you all velocities on the north shore. So it's a what-if scenario if adult ladder usage is less than anticipated. We have an action to get that back out sometime in the February timeframe. But there'll be an interface between now and then to identify that we do the right flows. So stay tuned for some information to come out via email next week. But we had a good model trip. It was very nice.
So the patterns are done though. We're finalizing the patterns for the Dells.
There was a trip report developed that I sent out and that needs to be finalized for the fish passage spill patterns for no adult modification. Right. So it's a straight fish passage plan, and that's that should be out. Sean has the action I sent it to.
Okay.
Yeah. And so that's spill patterns. There may be some tweaking as to when we transition, some discussion on some of the transition issues that still needs to happen, but the pattern is established.
So we're ready to stick that into the fish passage plan. No.
Yes, I believe so.
Good.
Lori, what do you consider low flows? What were the range of flows you were looking at?
The big issue at 120 KCFS total river, 40% spill, we're right, that's the lowest flow where we're actually at a 4 foot gate opening in days 1 through 8. So as you drop below 120, we had to reduce the number of the spill bays we were using.
Okay.
At a 90 KCFS, you only had to have dropped off bays 1 and 2. So the concern was 90 and below. And so at 90 and below, we can put all the necessary spill through 7-8, and that allows us to maintain, this is a guess on my part, so I'm close. I think it's a 72 total river or 68. Yeah, 70. We looked at a 70, and I think you can go down to like a 68 total river and be okay.
Have we ever gotten there other than 2001?
During the
last year?
Daily, you can. Yes.
Oh,
for
within
hour,
the day.
For an hour. For an hour or two, you can get that low.
Wow. Okay. In the summer.
Yeah.
Yes.
Hopefully not spring.
If we have it in the spring, we really will have one in the summer.
A couple more people called in. Who else called in on the phone? No one? We still just have Bill on the phone?
Yeah, I think somebody called in and then hung up. It seemed like.
Okay.
Somebody called.
Hi, Steve.
Someone new just call in?
It's Steve Schleicher.
Hey, Steve.
Yes, we do.
I don't know if the rest of your team is here ready to present, Steve.
Okay, I've got a speakerphone, so I'll just listen while I do some other work.
Okay.
Wish I could.
That's pretty much the update we had. If there's any other questions or anything.
So you're on schedule.
Yeah.
And on budget.
Well, I can't speak to the budget portion. I'll leave that to the project manager.
Yeah, good news.
Yep.
All right, well, thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Dave. Okay, the next agenda item I had was survival study methods. John was going to come. He's not here. Brad is in Richland right now, working on our receiver contract for JSAS receivers. So I'll hold that if John comes and has an update for it, but I don't right now.
I can give a little bit of update. I know the cable, I mean, the equipment and things like that, I know the cable order's out for that contract, and I know the pipe, and then the pipe install for Bonneville.
Okay, so you're talking about, I was talking about more the methods development, and I thought when we got to John Day research, but that's okay. So
is
for
there
the
John Day research on that?
Yeah, John
Day.
Oh,
yeah, 2010. That's okay.
I could, we could just, I mean, we'll talk about it at SRWG, the study status and what we're doing, and that's this afternoon, so that's right to hold that part.
Can I go back to the Dallas for one brief minute? And Ed just reminded me, we had a placeholder meeting for February for a second model trip. I believe with almost 100% confidence, you can take that off your calendar.
Do you want to keep the placeholder for anything else for the agency people? I don't know.
Well, it's already.
We'll be down there already. Okay.
So. Yeah, because I think we're what I heard at the end of the trip, both John Day and the Dells were done for 2010 pattern development.
For pattern development. I didn't know if you had anything else to talk about.
Do we have a configuration case trip?
Not that.
Need?
Not that
okay.
I don't anticipate the making very well. It depends on how much we get in low model, but I don't know that they'll take a full week.
Okay.
So the Bonneville, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Okay, turbine survival program.
Okay. I'm going to the spill pattern. The bottom of the model. The folder.
I printed up 20 sheets here, so my task goes away.
We're looking to finish up our pressure effect study, specifically diagnostics. This FY, so we're hoping that that work will be done in terms of pressure activation studies in the project at TSC. For our capture, we've awarded a contract with Plant Specs. Lori was very interested in helping us get that off the ground. That was just done here earlier this week. So we're moving forward with that. And we're looking to award a contract for the design, a turbine design, where we're in contract with PTA. That was discussed earlier in the meeting here. We're looking to have that awarded early March, maybe perhaps as early as late February, but realistically early March. A couple of contractors that have expressed interest. So once that's awarded, we're looking to have a meeting with you folks in early April and go over the particulars. What does it need? What's the context? Where are we going? What are the potential positive outcomes from this engagement with private industry? And that was discussed earlier on at Walla Walla, so we'll follow through with that. Pull everybody together and give you guys a comprehensive overview of where we are. Any questions on
TSP? On the first one, the pressure effect studies, is there any draft results around that?
We've got draft results, but they're draft results.
I'd rather not speak to
them.
Big old.
I would rather speak to those when we have substantial data that we stand
okay.
Mike, you want to speak to any of that?
Yeah, let's let them finish the treatments and fill in the holes. I mean, you saw some early results. I don't think those trends are changing where we're seeing differences in tag size. We're seeing a tag size, fish size relationship right up to the pit tag. I mean, how big those are, what they mean in terms of what fish experience in the turbine, we haven't gotten to that yet.
I also think it's prudent to wait till you have results that are substantial. Otherwise, yeah. There's a tendency to make assumptions that later on you have to justify, and that's part of what does. In terms of John Day configuration, I think most of you were down at the early trip, because I think we're on the same page in terms of spill patterns from get to go. So I won't speak to that too much. But we're looking at a feasibility report. There's a typo there, it should be at 60%, but we're close to 60%. We're looking to complete that this FY as well as the COP. We want to make sure that all our documentation, supporting documentation is in place. We also want to bring you in later this late spring to complete some of what we're doing with the COP, some of what we're doing with the feasibility study, and lay out for you folks where we're going. As you folks are aware, we've got a DSW that we're moving over. We've got flow deflectors that are going in. Got a AV wire array, and we think that that's going to get us to where we need to go, but that feasibility report will give us the log, everything that I just mentioned here that we're doing this FY kind of falls into that feasibility report. But that feasibility report will give you a log view for where we're looking to go from a strategy standpoint. I mentioned the flow deflector, it's under construction, there are no issues there. And we're looking to conduct post-construction of the flow deflector. We're looking to have a biotest out there. We're looking to have some fish, some essential fish. We're looking to have that done in late March. Perhaps we can speak to that a little bit.
Because of all the work out of John Day, we've got some interesting construction timing issues. The notice we've received, since it happened over the holidays, got delayed just a little bit, so they're requesting extension of the in-water work period. Well, trying to get the avian array up while you're doing the blue attack study is going to be an interesting feat, but we're working that right now. We plan on, as part of the blue attack study for the flow deflector, we want to manipulate the Dalles pool. So if we operate at the valves at 155 and at 160, depending on the flow rate, that should give us a 4-foot difference of submergence on that deflector. We'd like to release some sensor fish at those two extremes to see if we can tell the difference hydraulically on submergence. The John Day fill patterns with the TSW.
Tell the difference hydraulically?
Yeah.
With sensor fish.
So that'll feed into the CFD work we've done.
Okay.
Verification of those.
I
heard
the fish.
Have you guys coordinated with anybody in our shop on the operations side?
I'm making a note that I need to initiate that ASAP.
That'd be good.
Oh, you don't care about the date? Within the last week of March, first week of April.
It's been mentioned once, Jason, that as it was potential, but I'll put more emphasis on getting it discussed.
What are you going to coordinate?
Very compressed schedule.
The pool elevation.
Okay.
Ranging the pool with the Dalles from 155 to 160, or as close to 155 as we can go.
So again, we're looking at a very compressed schedule here for construction. There's a lot of activity that's going to be taking place, a lot of coordination that's taking place, but we're very confident that we can pull it off. That's attributed to the various folks that have been engaged. You folks are over the table and engaged, so thank you very much for your efforts on this. Any questions on John Day?
Yeah, I want to. Oh, go ahead.
I was just. Don't worry, what's the elevation on the deflector?
150.
Okay.
I should also mention that after we go through the post-construction study, that short bio study that we're looking at, that we're talking about here, based on the outcomes of that, we'll start the optimization study that we talked about. You guys pretty much asked us to follow through on it, so we'll start doing that as well.
So what are when would that be, I mean, time-wise, mid-year?
Well, we're looking at late March. Early studies, and we should have those results pretty quickly. We should see if things are working the way we think they would work.
we'll monitor it as soon as we get it through the airway, and if not, because potentially we'll start flying.
So do we need, did I hear we need an extension of the in-water work period for the installing the avian lines?
And that's the work that we perform during that extension is just ferrying the avian lines across the river.
Do we need anything formal for that?
Set that out.
Because it's really no effect.
Well, you're not changing anything for the fish passage plan operation.
Right.
Just out there doing tons of around.
Okay, so no issue there.
What's the status of the deflection right now?
Right.
I mean, where are you at?
That was my next question.
Water. We've got the structure.
We haven't poured anything, we're not at that stage yet. Anticipating the final pour in February or something like that?
I'd say late January.
Late January. Okay, good.
And we must have lost 2 weeks in terms of our overall schedule, but we're tracking pretty well.
Tracking well, okay. And the balloon tank study, the evaluation, we'll talk about that this afternoon. We had some back and forth about what should and shouldn't be done, but I haven't heard.
Okay, let's. You want to cover that at SRWG this afternoon?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do that.
So the spill patterns for the TSW, we've got preliminary patterns. I'm documenting that in the trip report. I don't know if you guys have the dollar value. What the awarded avian line contract was just under $2.2 million. So it ended up being cheaper than everybody thought.
What a deal. Just don't tell Grant County.
I'll work right here. Your boxers out there.
So that guy's hell of a
right. Any other questions, though, Joe Dave? The Dallas Northeast fish ladder, actually, what that should say is the water supply for those disturbance that provide water supply for that line. This year we were provided code before that, that did get the cutlery. But we've had some internal discussions, and I think we're leaning towards recommending that we rehab units. All the alternatives that came back were $40 plus for an alternate water supply system. And we think that's a little pricey. It's been something that's been on the table for a long time, and it's always been deferred because of cost. The cost now are substantially higher than what we have projected. So we're going back to what we think makes sense. Is rehab the units. I won't say that it would be at a fraction of the cost of what they would be substantially lower than having an alternate water system, alternate water supply system. So that's what we're, that's the direction that we're leading. But again, we have no funds this year to pursue that. So
yeah, I'm thinking that whole project is just sitting on the side for now. I wouldn't want to see you guys move anywhere yet. But that last meeting that I remember we had was with the contractor, whoever it was, looking at a lot of different alternatives. But that was at some percent, 60%, whatever. We're not at a final point there.
Things didn't change much, Gary, from the 60. They just tried to refine it. They came up with another alternative that hopefully looked like it could reduce the cost. It didn't do much to reduce the cost. It's still stop logs and using stop logs for back pressures to supply water up to the gate.
Has there been any reports out that I missed it? Did something come out that I missed here that is a 90% or a final report? The
final report that was out in May.
Sure, it got finalized.
In May of last year.
Been that long?
Looking at that final report. It's not too different than what you were exposed to, except the bottom line, which was kind of not the older. We're looking at what, 45?
40, yeah, between 40 and 45.
45 year old.
I just don't remember any sit-down discussion about that. I mean, I remember providing comments and having the meeting and the discussions, and those guys are going to go back and work on some other alternatives and some ideas, and we threw some ideas on the table, and I don't recall any resolution to those at all.
The scope of that,
by the side.
The HTR scope was really, I thought that was focused on the turbine draft tube connection.
There was a team, you guys had a team, we were looking at all these different alternatives. And
oh, that's the one.
So that's not in a report.
That's the, no, that's going to be, that's what we wanted.
That hadn't gotten done yet.
As a product of that report.
That's, okay.
That's what we did not get funded.
Yeah, that's what we get, did not get.
So, yeah, so I guess what I'm saying is that's just an idle, then it should stay an idle until we have a chance to sit down and talk. Yeah. I don't want you guys to say, okay, well, we're done with this. We're just going to rehab the turbines and move on, because that's still been a concern of mine anyway, is that the rehab turbines still are a concern for me.
I put together a scope for George for what I envisioned a follow-on program would be for this year, and it talked about taking what we learned from that alternative report that was done and kind of stepping back and kind of looking at the past alternatives, kind of making sure we weren't going to be bushwhacked again by saying, "My God, 25 times magnitude cost, for other alternatives." And that's the part that was not. I was submitted to SCP for further work, but whatnot.
I guess I want to make sure that we just have our eyes wide open here. I've heard Cordy at times say, well, there's this idea and that idea that haven't fleshed out at all, and there may be some other ideas out there. Things have changed. The wall's there. We've got a new spill pattern. The project has changed quite a bit in the last 10 years. So.
Agreed. Just to be clear, we're not looking at this as, well, we're done, it's kind of like the way it is. As a matter of fact, there are folks that have expressed dismay and were quite upset that the project didn't make the cut line, because there's concern that if indeed the system fails, we find ourselves in a very precarious situation.
Absolutely.
So we're hoping that the next go around next year, it will make the cut line.
Yeah, well, it's important. It's just there's a lot of important things out there this year.
I just wanted to emphasize that we're not looking at this as well. We're down.
Okay.
Is there a schedule for rehab on
this? There is not.
But we're still putting funds into our O&M program, that I think it's not like we're totally sitting idle on this.
It's been maintained.
Yeah.
Maintained.
We're maintaining and doing annual maintenance on them. So
it's it's just the any kind of major improvements are set aside.
Right.
But I just don't want to see us just say, well, we looked and we're more scared, so we're not
going to do it. I had a question, and maybe it's a similar subject because we're on the Dallas fish ladders. Back a couple of years ago, we did have a study for the North ladder that looked at when the spill wall came into operation. Is that something that has, in biological evaluation terms, for the next post-evaluation, is that part of it? Is there any studies there to look at the effectiveness? Or
yes.
Okay.
Yes, we're looking at. We have the study this year that looks specifically at passage. So that is being held in the wings for the results of the study.
Right, we consciously did that to make sure and put efforts into the east ladder.
We anticipate some problems.
Okay. I just want to make sure that didn't fall off the table.
So the focus is east ladder first, and then.
Yeah. We'll see what happens. I wouldn't say that. I'd say we don't know what we're going to see next year for Adult Passage. So we have some operational fixes that may work, but if we see a total blockage of the north ladder, we may be looking at some other fix that's construction. So I think that's for the north ladder. And the east ladder, that's a different issue. Hopefully it's working fine. It'll continue to work fine, but I'm in leery of those units. So I think we need to have an alternative non-turbine route for AWS flow somewhere, somehow. I know you've got ideas. You keep coming up with some good ideas, and I just don't think that we've thoroughly investigated all of those ideas. So and then there's also the combined system thing that we worked on for years, then threw on the shelf. We threw on the shelf because of the way the tail race was working at the time. That's changed dramatically. So that could come back, and that thing was designed for flowing AWS. There's things out there.
Yeah, I think that's the next step that we were going to look at, is kind of get our arms around again what was done in the past and see what changes that could be made to some of those, like a combined system or fish lock or whatever, and kind of take it in another investigation that would maybe have, you know,
maybe you don't get all the flow, but at least you get something done and that what you have.
So before anything is completed on the east ladder, something would start moving forward on the north. That's what I'm hearing.
Not necessarily.
No, I didn't say that. I don't think that's. No. I don't see them as being competing. I see them as.
The north, we're looking at this year, and we're going to make a decision on if we need to do more or not, or we can solve this operationally. We need the data first. That's why we waited for the wall.
Okay. You lose both turbine units at the. Both fish units that we'll be thinking a lot about the east
side. So the east, I want to just make sure we get this right in our notes, because I'm going to go back to the last meeting as we left, and I think that's where we still are, but correct me if I'm wrong. What we said was for 2010, now this will be 2011 because it's unfunded this year, the team was going to revisit the many alternatives looked at in the past studies, update the costs, help narrow down what we'll do, make a decision. And there was desire by NIMS and others to bring in other alternatives that we looked at in the past, namely the Dalles Sluiceway outfall relocation, and then we have this outstanding issue still of Wasco PUD and the fish ladder that we'll have to resolve. But I think we agreed that the combined system, since we've done the work on it, we've got the design work done, we could look at that again as a cost. You know, how much would it cost? What's it going to get us as an alternative? Are you in agreement with that?
That sounds about right. The only concern that I would have is, again, this comes back to prioritization. We should study this for a while, but what I'm reluctant to do is, I will do that, of course, but what I'm reluctant to do is to study it more. I think that we've studied it enough. There's alternatives that are out there that have viability, and it's just a question of making the determination which way we
move. Yeah, because it's not going to go away.
It's not going
to
go away.
What the history tells you is that we keep coming back because of our concerns, so we keep running away from the cost, but I think we have to do something.
Agreed.
It can't just be ignored.
Agreed.
So, like I said, summarize what we know, update the costs, and start making a decision.
Yeah.
Okay.
What I conveyed to our management was that we could put together a decision matrix that said, this is what the alternatives are, the most viable alternatives are, this is the updated budgetary cost, let's make a decision.
Is part of this going to be, I don't know if you guys have started talking about what do you do if anything does happen, some kind of emergency ops that you would do? I started to discuss like what you do if you did have any slatter pump failures. Is there any procedural discussion?
Well, we do have that. The fish passes by
now.
There's a point there where you just can't do anything.
Right.
If you lose both fish units,
I'm thinking about
then it's Bob and a bucket.
Yeah.
That's about
well,
it.
I guess so. What do you
got
do
to
do on the ladder, too? And what do you do for part of that? Does it go beyond that to deal with they're both out? What do you do? How did you operate the north ladder different? Do you operate spill different? Those kind of issues depend on the time of year that may come into discussions.
I see what you're saying. Yeah, those are
different. Well, that's what you got already.
So let you know where we're going with it at the project level. As soon as we heard out it wasn't funded this year, who knows what the future holds. So we're going to look into the fish lock to see what we can actually get out of it. So the engineers are now looking into, we just looked at the intake yesterday, the condition of the trash racks for the intake of the fish lock. And then we're going to just work our way down from there as we have project funds.
So you're doing that on the project level?
And we're just going to, and we know we don't get enough water, but
yeah,
if it comes down to it, if they crash tomorrow,
better
we're going to take anything.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So you're going to do a test, run it, and see what it does, the entrance head?
Hopefully
or how
we
you
get to that stage.
Okay.
You know, we're just starting now, you know, because everything was kind of on hold, waiting to see what happens with the whole study.
But you have like old valves and some things there that may or may not work or need to be updated.
Yeah, there's a room.
Money.
And that's what, from my perspective, it was just go out and open the valve and see if it works. But
yeah.
Of course, there's a lot more to it than that.
Yeah, weren't they worried
about
it closing?
That's what kind of, that's what kind of.
Open it.
You want to use that again?
Yeah. So, anyways, we're looking into it now and hopefully make some progress on that and just see what.
Yes. And are you guys, as a project and the district, working together on that?
Well, at one time we...
I know, no, yeah, no, no. They're doing it out of the right. goodness yeah. of their hearts and whatever dollars yeah. they have left, but, I mean, they're going to need money at some point, whether it's O&M money.
Well, the funding, the O&M funding is there, and that's, okay. That's why we're moving forward.
Yeah, no,
to do something. And at one time we had talked about that yeah, a while back.
All this needs to be combined in the same. Well, yeah. There's different goals here. There's what do you do if you have nothing, if you need anything. And then, you know, maybe replace at least one unit, and what if you need to replace both units? You know, that's different levels of response to the problem. So, maybe we can squeeze enough water out of various sources to at least get one entrance working well or something like that, or two entrances working well.
Certainly isn't for lack of creativity, is enthusiasm behind this. It's just our question.
I see the need for a discussion once, at some point. Once you get to a point where you have all these pieces together, we need to sit down and talk.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Okay. If there are any other official questions, since we've gone to B2FGE. You know, what I'd like to do is, if it's okay with you folks, I'd like to address the last item on the sheet, the B2 Corner Collector first. B2FG is going to get a little involved here. So the B2 Corner Collector gate voice, as you recall, we're looking to put a voiced corner collector for the purposes of safety and response. Unfortunately, that didn't make the cut line this FY, so the project's pretty much temporarily put on hold.
So Scott did have enough money in his back pocket.
His bonus wasn't big enough?
Well, we've got the gantry, or the gantry crane, but the tie crane.
The tie,
so I think we've got something this year to get us through this. So.
We would like to come back to that eventually, but at least for the time being, there's no bucks.
We're at about, how many percent? We were at about, what, 50 or 60% on design?
We were ready to go to 20%.
Okay. I mean, so we got something
very
close. So if we get funding, it can be
done.
It could be rejuvenated really quick. Yeah.
Well, it's not. We have
B2FGE.
Right.
No.
We have design.
Corner collector gate post. Okay. We jumped that.
Okay. Yeah.
No.
I mean, not being
plans and specs.
Just a couple of wires on.
Yeah.
All right. So B2FGE. The board's question of the corner collector to receive this B2FGE. As you folks recall, we had some concerns around survival of fish that were released from
Spring Creek.
And that caused us to start investigating the BCFGE a little bit more in depth post-construction. And it was determined that we probably had some issues out there. We were having fish land on these screens. We were having some. And we were asked to investigate and identify some alternatives to resolve them. We laid out an action plan to address that this FY, but we also came up with some scenarios that we weren't anticipating. Lori went back and she looked at some hydraulic data, and we're not there yet, but it seems like maybe perhaps we need to take a more holistic approach to the hydraulic evaluation that we've got out there addressing the PGS, corner collector, as well as the hydraulics that feed directly, the hydraulic studies that feed directly into the B2FGE. It seems that with the different features were designed and studied, they were designed and studied independently of each other. And I think that we've come to a conclusion that maybe perhaps we need to step back and reevaluate hydraulically what's going on out there in the context of the current configuration and final configuration. Lori, can I ask you to speak to that just a little bit before I get myself into trouble here?
Yeah.
It's like deja vu all over again.
One of the things that we did was we built the CFD model of the BGS to provide hydraulic information to go with the fish trips that were collected with the BGS. And when we did the preliminary design, we just kind of faked in the BGS.
And in this case, we actually got the right coordinates, built it in, made a CFD model of the right dimensions. When we and we provided fish hydraulic information to PNNL to go along with their fish traps. But in the process of evaluating the hydraulic conditions, our calibration data for B2 is back with no corner collector, no BGS. And so we ran several scenarios with the corner collector on and off and the BGS on and off. And just as a fluke, I looked at the hydraulic conditions at the face of the intakes. So basically, what is going on hydraulically right along, right at the trash racks along the entire face of the powerhouse as you turn those features on and off. It's significant. And so what you're seeing, and so then I looked, and although the model doesn't have the detail as one of our other models of the screens and the VBS,
change that.
No, we have ties in and out. We've always done ties in and out. And so, yeah, that's an easy one. But we actually went back, and we've seen changes in the hydraulic conditions on the SDSs. So,
but in the gate wells?
Well, the problem is the model that I have doesn't have, I'm seeing a difference in the VBSs. I'm seeing a different hydraulic condition in the gate well. But the model I have...
Or the trash racks.
I'm on the screens and up the VBS. I have a difference. There's a hydraulic difference in the model that I have, but it doesn't represent exactly what's out there. It was pre-changes. Our VBS configuration, our physical VBS configuration is pre-taking the concrete out. We have another model, but that's not... I didn't anticipate a change there. We just duplicated our old model in that region. Mm-hmm. I'm seeing a change up there. Whether we had the right VBS, whether we would see a change, we have a change on the SDSs. That will translate to a change up in the VBSs. The BGS has an influence hydraulically at the intake on the STSs. I can guarantee that. How much of an influence up the gate well, I don't know. When we did the original FGE work, we did try to get a handle on lateral flow and how much lateral flow was on those screens. We didn't see nearly as much as we now see with the BGS out there. So the BGS is having an impact. Whether it's impacting FGE is unclear to me.
Whether it's impacting gate well hydraulics.
It's unclear to me, but there is a change in the hydraulics at the STSs, which could translate.
It's hard for me to see how the BGS presence out there in the 4-bay changes hydraulics on gate well. That's tough.
Okay. One of the things we need to be aware of when we're out, the way that you've got to remember the pathymetry of B2. It's very complicated, that's the reason.
Coffer dam and all the stuff.
Yeah.
And so basically, what you do is you come in. It's a fairly gradual upswing, and then it's a deep dive. Mm-hmm. That BGS is placed in where it coexists in order to accomplish what we thought we wanted to. We are using that bathymetry. We are increasing that bathymetry. We're pronouncing that bathymetry impact with the BGS. So the flow is coming in and it's following the flow, and it jumps up much more vertical. There are much more vertical content in the flow as it gets to the intakes. I can show you what it's doing. I didn't anticipate it.
So, Lori, is this you're saying it changes the hydraulics for better or for worse? And what's the problem?
The problem that we're seeing is I'm seeing more vertical contact, more vertical component velocity.
What's that mean for fish?
It should be a higher FG then.
Well, the BG. Are you saying the BGS? But the year that you had the bad survival data was the year that we put the BGS in.
Yes.
No, it was
we had 2 years of biological data.
We've had 2 years of BGS though too.
Right.
Right.
The first year we only had Unit 11 operating for the spring release, so we know that Unit 11 is a major player in how the corner collector FGE works in that side of the river. Last year we didn't have 11 or 15 online. We had a much different outcome on fish tracks with the corner collector operating, less guidance. But we know that when we have 11 and 15 in the full operation that that can significantly alter, you know, how those fish come in and move along that foramen. And I don't know how it plays into your component about how much is pulled to the left and how much goes to the right. And
but that's what the point, vertical the whole point of all this is gate well environment.
Yeah. So that's my question. Is this a guidance issue or is this a gate well safety issue? Because what we're trying to solve right now at Bonneville is gate well safety. Why are we injuring fish? And I'll tell you that before the BGS was even out there, we had this gate well problem.
Yeah. And one of the things that you see is that if you got a higher vertical component, it is potentially you're going to put more water in the gate well. You might put more water up in the gate well, which is an energy issue potentially. What the other thing that happened that we haven't investigated, I saw the problem and that's about all we've done with it. I identified it, I did some cross sections, we have some runs, but we've not analyzed the data. This is something we've seen of it. I don't know that it's an issue, Mike. It's how do you design, it's a hydraulic evaluation.
Okay.
The question is, if the BGS isn't staying, and I'm not, what is the configuration we're designing B2 for? To me, the question is, what do we want the final configuration for B2 to be? And then you design all the components for that configuration.
So can we estimate or calculate how much additional flow goes up the gate well as an account of the BGS? Is that how much? Is that it's probably a difficult thing to do, I suppose.
Well, it can't be. How much can that possibly be?
I don't.
I mean, are we talking? Is this noise or is this something substantial?
I got a change of a vertical foot, a component of almost a foot per second at the on the STS of a change of a foot per second. Over the other condition at the top of the STS, over the so I don't know how much it changes. All I know is the results show a foot per second change, and as closer you get to the corner collector, the more significant the impact.
And Lori, if you would put the turning ring in the concrete, we could have seen even higher velocities.
Exactly. And so my model doesn't have the turning vane in it. It doesn't have the new VBSs. So I was trying to get Derek Faber Hydraulics to go with his tracks. I saw something that shocked the hell out of me.
Well, it's a good catch. I mean, it seems like as we go forward with design, we got to start there at least and see what the effect of our BGS is. But I don't see us today deciding if it's going to stay in or out.
I mean, no, I don't either. That's the bigger question, though.
Of a BGS.
Well, what concerns me is that every time you make a change with the BGS, you move it here, you move it there, there's some changes the gate well, and maybe we
need to know what order of magnitude we're talking about and how it's going to affect your design. I mean, the criteria right now that we're going by is gate well flow.
$70 million out the door.
And so the gate well flow target that we identified is based on the gate well research we've done, which is what gate well flow we get with the BGS in at the midpoint operation. I believe that's what we're shooting for. That's where we see the problem go away. And so you can figure out what that gate well flow is, but the question is, if you take the BGS out, I guess it would only make it better, according to what Lori's saying, as far as the gate well environment.
I think you could operate with more Q through a unit.
So maybe, I'm just thinking this through, so maybe you design, a worst case scenario would be with the BGS in for your gate well environment, and so you'd have a conservative gate well Q design criteria then, I would think, based on the data we have.
All I'm saying is that has an influence that needs to play a role in the solution process. We haven't begun to look at the data. We've got a lot of data, we just haven't looked at it. We ran a lot of runs to provide to PNNL to correlate with fish traps. We've not analyzed them.
Did you look at different turbines across the face of the powerhouse, different gate wells? Or is it just
I just looked at
well?
I
did some different plots for each of the units operating, and there are differences. More significant as you move to the B2 corner collector side. 11-12 has the most significant. We've not analyzed it yet. It's just it's an impact.
We can actually see that difference from the 90 deck looking into the gate wells. It's more turbulent than the unit 11 gate wells.
Yeah.
But it doesn't go too far down.
They've always been that way, even before we modified it. So, but not as extreme.
So from my perspective, the issue that we inherited was that we had turbulence in gate wells, and we were trying to investigate why that, what was the source of that turbulence. And clearly from the discussion that's going around the table here, there are uncertainties, and there are lots of questions now. And because of that, we need to go back and reevaluate our assumptions. That's basically what we're trying to do. So instead of moving forward with an action plan that says we're going to identify alternatives to fix this mechanically or structurally, we're saying let's step back, reevaluate the problem, reevaluate our assumptions, and then lay out an action plan.
There's one other component before I just want to mention. We're moving out on doing a gate well hydraulics measurement study. But again, now they're going to come in and we're just going to remap. We're going to run a unit at several different operations, and then we want to remap the queue and remap the VBS and the velocities inside the gate well.
With a VGS in, VGS out.
Well, right now it's just with VGS in. We need to at least get some data to say, okay, back when we did this in unit 17 in the prototype, we got these measurements, we tested it this queue. Now we want to test it again, and we want to see how valid it is. And we've got some better components, we have some better equipment that can get three.
Why? Are you feeding this into a model somewhere?
We will.
The important point here is to develop a model that actually can predict the effect in the gate well on whatever is going on at this project, whether it's one unit on or all of them on or what. VGS here, VGS there. Yeah. This all, before then, you go down the road of the designs, although I don't want to see the, it sounds a bit like a red herring to me. I don't want this design process to take a nosedive because of this VGS finding.
I don't think the design process takes a nosedive. I think it's more clarifying the direction we have, because right now we have this alternative report a year and a half ago started off looking at flow control devices, louvers, operation reductions in the turbine unit, and now I think we realize we have to, those up front look very complicated, and not that we don't want to do it, but I think if we can identify what might be the root cause of some of this, then it helps us clarify a direction on alternatives to look at.
What do you mean by that, Randy?
Yeah, what do you mean by root cause? I'm getting a little bit conflicted by what I'm hearing. I understand we're talking about a complicated thing here. Yeah. I appreciate the Corps needing to have a valid model to determine what's what. But I don't see this affecting the gate well conditions. This condition existed before the BGS was even in place.
Well, one of the things we need to remember is that when we did the FGE evaluation, it was pre-corner collector. So when we did the field measurements, we did the velocity measurements in the field, it was prior to the B2 corner collector coming online.
Oh, I understand.
Okay, so the point is we've got a lot of things going on. The field the data measurements that we need to collect for the gate well are valuable. We just need to make sure that when we do the evaluation and come up with an FGE modification, that we make sure that what we use is what's in the prototype, that we have the right hydraulics.
No problem with building a model. I just don't want us to start backing away from alternatives for improvements, which I don't think rely heavily on. I mean, there's going to be some effect of these different things on your selected alternative, but I don't see it being a guiding thing. What I don't want to see us do is say, oh, we got to shut the corner collector off because FGE is, because our hydraulics in the gate well are affected by it. We're not going to do that.
No, we're not.
And the same with the BGS. We probably won't take it out because we affected the hydraulics in the gate well. So if it's working.
If it's working.
And it seems to be working for steelhead.
Survival seems to be quite high.
Yeah.
Through B2.
The corner collector is good. We're guiding fish to it. I'm not sure where you're going, but what I don't want to do is back away from design of solutions to reducing gate well turbulence.
I think you'd look at this as it changes your design. I mean, you're saying, so rather than
this is your input for your, you're not designing for no corner collector, no BGS. You're designing for a corner collector BGS, and they got to get those kind of boundary conditions right so they can do the design.
I understand that. I understand that.
Well, that's, I mean, I think
but
that's
I thought what I heard, and I want to make sure I didn't hear incorrectly, was get a handle on the root causes tells me that there's some uncertainty among people about a gatewell problem at all. And I'm going to stand up here and say there is a gatewell problem.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And then what's the cause? I mean, this is just a question I'm having. You know, the gatewell meets the criteria we designed it for. Is that correct? At the time
we designed it. According to physical modeling.
So when we say maybe root cause, we're saying okay, which one of those criteria needs to be modified so we can design a solution. So, you know, is it the velocities? Is it the energy dissipate? You know, so that's a piece of information we could use.
Turbine gain, flow.
But then what is the, so if that one doesn't work, those criteria don't work. What criteria do we think might work? I mean, is it
what changes when you bring the unit from the peak operation to the mid range? What changes in the gatewell?
Exactly.
And what changes occurred before we modified it to after?
That's investigating root cause right there, as far as you know.
Well, we've done 2 years.
We've done that.
It's not so much.
Okay, do you have something from that that can roll into
it? We know at the midpoint operation.
That identifies the condition you want.
Okay, that's exactly. So we have criteria.
Do something to provide that with your per unit operation at the upper end of 1%. That's what you're after.
So, I guess
and then whatever changes are made by the BGS or units on or off, you can calculate that to see how much that affects that fix. But if it doesn't affect it significantly, you move on with implementation.
So we have a target. That's
a target.
We know the mid-range, that it's a mid-range Q of around 15K for those units. Fish do just fine.
So what flow? What changes is the flow up the gate slot?
Yep.
How does that change your gatewell environment?
And that changes your.
That's the gatewell environment you want to replicate at the peak. And
does it work for lower Q?
Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
That's kind of the best deal of the coarseness of our study. Well, that's the threshold we've identified.
But
yes.
what happens if you design the turning vane for a mid range, you know, that Q. Anything below that, you're going to get less FGE. You know, you're just going to have to.
You know you're going to lose FGE.
So, but we need to improve the gatewell environment to make sure the fish aren't there.
Doesn't help to guide them into death traps.
Yeah. So we normally run those units at the upper end of 1%. We need to design for the best condition, the Q up the slot that we saw at the mid range.
Yep.
And is there a minimum Q up the gatewell slot that's not acceptable? My point is, there's two ends of this thing.
Well, I don't know where are you at first. I mean, Mike just identified that there is a point, a sweet spot there. Tell us what that is, and then we'll tell you whether or not that's a.
I mean, we have a model that shows that at what Q, when the unit is operating at a certain Q with a clean screen, what the flow is up the slot.
Well,
it ranges from.
I'll tell you, whatever that is. So, I mean, wait a minute. Yeah. Gene's been out there working, and so we've got survival information for that powerhouse when we've backed off from the peak operation to what is safe. So we ought to be able to get FG heat for that operation and see how that compares with the FG we've had in the past. And I suspect it's still higher than what we had back in the 80s.
Like they were low.
Were they?
Yeah. They were.
That's what we have to look at. Well, that's about it. for spring migrants or for subs? Subs were 29% in OA. That's I remember that.
Okay.
Let's table this for today and let's schedule a separate meeting to provide clarification to the team on what the criteria are for designing for. I'm surprised to hear that we don't know what the problem is. I thought we fairly clearly identified what that was.
Mike, I don't know if that's what we stated.
That's what I heard Randy say.
The problem is that we have turbulence in the gatewell. We know that. We've got an issue with the gatewell.
Okay.
Yeah, I just wanted to make sure I didn't misunderstand.
No, we're not whitewashing that. We have a problem there. What I was trying to convey, maybe perhaps it's very poorly, is that we were to assess all of our assumptions that we went into this. Before we start to put the solution in place, You want to make sure that whatever it is that we design is designed correctly while addressing the configuration that we've got out there.
That's part of the design process.
Yeah.
That's fine. I don't think anybody objects to that.
No, that's you have to do that.
Right.
I just don't want to wait. I don't want to take a lot of time looking at that while we're not moving forward with at least some ideas on solutions.
And won't we get some survival information from the JSAT study this year?
Yeah.
We'll have single release survival estimates by route. I don't know.
Survival's pretty good through the JBS.
It has been. We have past data as well in the last 3 years.
Or better. So it seems like this is kind of a, if you have a problem and it's killing fish, it occurs sometimes and not others.
Well, it occurs if you run the units at the upper end of the
okay.
And you tag the small fish.
Small fish.
It's more small fish.
The small fish, which we usually don't tag.
It's a small spring mount.
There was concern.
For larger fish, too.
Run of the river, yeah. Untagged fish.
Yes. That's what Miles' results showed.
Okay, so let me go back again. Do we need a special meeting on this or not? We're at a 30% alternatives report. I assume our next step is a 60%. Can we wait till then?
I would recommend that we have a special meeting for this down the road a little bit after we kind of sort things out.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'd like to lay out for you folks what we're doing, why we're doing what
we're doing. Okay. We are continuing with the alternatives report this year, correct? And the alternative study?
We're continuing with the study. But we're slowing it down just a little bit until we address some of the concerns that I brought up earlier. That is checking our assumptions, making sure. I don't want to start pursuing down a path of finding a solution and only to find out later that the solution was generated with false assumptions.
Okay.
So I want to make sure that we're okay on that front. So we're slowing it down. We're not stopping. We're just slowing that down just a little bit. Okay?
Okay.
I think, as soon as possible, I'd say we want to have a discussion about this because I don't feel good about it.
And I think what would be relevant is for us to present data, hydraulic data.
Yeah.
To make sure that we understand what the problems are.
We get a meeting set up just to do it and then sit down, look at the data, make sure everybody's ideas are out there on the table and everybody's thoughts are out there.
We'll have not only the hydraulics data, but we'll have the biological data.
So what time frame are we talking about? What's good for the team?
April? Sometime before 21. So fish should be in place.
It's a matter of sitting down and processing the data that we. I mean, it's no CFD runs. It's just processing CFD runs.
March.
Well, the other component. I mean, we will have the gate. We're going to do the velocity mapping and the gate well. Hopefully, the first week of March. So it would be nice to have that data to show you as well.
So how is that done?
How's that done, Randy?
We have two velocity meters that are put on a beam and they're dropped into the gate well.
Various depths.
And then various depths, and they just, it's a traverse. And Mark will, well, Ken and L will just take, you know, move this beam up and down, and they'll get their velocity.
So basically just through the center of the gate well, or do you?
We can move it. Yeah, we can. It takes points.
Is there plans to do it with corn collector on and off?
Corn collector beyond.
That's good.
Honest,
good.
Yeah. One question I have, does this mean there's a bit of a domino effect on some of the old physical model studies we've been doing, that the flow at the trash rack has changed? Because that's where we designed a lot of our physical model stuff, was on a trash rack velocity. Mm-hmm. And does that mean?
Yes, that's what this means. That means.
So all those bead studies, we can go study, we can watch beads go through turbines again?
No, not the bead studies on the
bottom.
Well, bead too, yeah.
We did a lot.
We did.
No, we haven't, not yet. We haven't. Well, the model's just been.
But the new model is just being calibrated
right,
down.
Yeah. So we haven't done a lot of that.
But.
That's right. It's a good point.
All the 1 to 12 modeling that we did for the VBS, mm-hmm. all that stuff was based on uniform flow coming up.
Yep.
And that's what we don't have. And how strong an influence does it really have? When we did our numerical work before, we weren't seeing a lot of an influence. But we didn't turn the corner collector on when we did that work before. We just were playing with different units being on. And now we need to make sure our boundary conditions for the work that's going into the FGE is correct. And cover the full range again. So that's the issue.
I'm just trying to think of all the work we've done in the past. Have we done some work on some
Yes.
It turns out to be a little more sandy than we thought.
It's not quite as bedrock.
Correct.
So let's go back to a special fitter wig. April, it sounds like, early April. Dennis, are you going to set that up, or do you guys want to set a date now?
I mean, we'll get the data in, I know, from the hydraulics. I don't know how long Lori's schedule is.
Okay, so why don't you coordinate?
We can kind of talk about it. We'll throw some dates out there in early April, mid-April, okay, for that.
So we agree that we'll address this. We will keep moving forward. I just want to assure you guys we're not stopped. We're not saying, hey, we're done. If there aren't any additional questions to review, we actually have, like, to speak very briefly to the The direction that I got this FY for the BGS was to come up with a decision document that looked at relocating the BGS, removing the BGS, or redesigning the BGS, but we needed a decision document this FY for that action. The question that I've got is the goals and objectives for the BGS's installation in the first place. As I recall it, it was to determine if it had impact and influence on behavior. Could we guide fish? That was the sole purpose for the installation.
In addition to, could you buy a quote-unquote off-the-shelf guidance system that you could easily pull in, you know, it was, and where could we test it with the most minimal impact?
For $500,000.
Huh?
For $500,000.
Yeah, about $500,000.
It didn't quite turn out that way.
No.
Really?
And I can tell you that you've got a horrendous maintenance nightmare out there with its current design. So I think we need to make a decision in terms of, again, relocation, removal, or redesign, either of which will constitute additional funds, either of which will constitute additional study and work. So in light of the objective, have we met the objective? And do we need to keep it out there? That's a decision that needs to be posed in order for us to determine whether we're going to remove it, relocate it, or redesign it.
Part of the problem in evaluating the BGS is that Unit 11 was off a lot of last year, and that really, we didn't get the guidance we would have hoped to have seen in terms of fish moving to the corner collector. But Unit 11 plays a big role to how the hydraulics are in that foreleg in slinging fish to the south. There's a possibility that going to the corner. So I don't think this last year was definitive by any means. The previous year there was improved guidance for some soft.
We missed it for some reelings for 2 years in a row.
Yes, that's right.
So yeah, I mean that's, we really haven't got a good evaluation. Here's the first thing to say.
See where they find a chair. If there's one back there, we'll put you.
It was marginal in 2008 because we only got spring data. Last year it was, I wouldn't call it even close to normal with two units off, and especially anything that has to do with Unit 11. So you can't compare last year's data with this year's data at all. We need a clean, I would say we need a clean year of data with the powerhouse on all the units available. Right now the schedule for Unit 11 is December of this year, so that puts us into FY11. Which we were scoping to do the full-blown survival study at Bonneville in FY11. That included having Unit 11 back on.
But again, my question is, have we determined that it's the initial goal, the initial objective was, can we put something out there that influences, that we can determine influences fish guidance?
Well, it hasn't been answered. You haven't answered it. You've answered it for steelhead. Yes, it does. It doesn't appear to guide schnook as well, but the tests for some drillings have not been very executed.
Okay, if that's the case, then can we rule out that we will not remove the BGS this year?
I won't throw it away.
I'll be honest, are we redesigning it?
That we're not.
The fishery community is going along believing that the thing seems to be working fairly well for spring migrants, and we don't know for summer because we haven't tested. And we have some concerns about fish going around the north end of the thing. We talked about moving it a bit, maybe, or lengthening it, or changing it to block the gap on the north end to improve sub-drilling guidance, but we haven't had a good test in 2 years of sub-drilling, so we really don't know what we have. We're at about 40% right now. We really don't know, and I would assume that we were going to continue to use it, and that, you know, I had no idea that the maintenance is such a nightmare on the thing that you guys are ready to wad it up and throw it.
Well, I think the maintenance on it, you know, we're doing a pre-dive inspection. We know the cabling system and the anchoring system is way more complex than if the Corps wouldn't have designed it, because it was a design build. And they came up with that type of anchoring system. So if it is going to be left in permanently, we would probably want to redesign it just from what, quote-unquote, maintenance standpoint.
Mm-hmm. So you're at a point now where you're saying, okay, what we have out there was a prototype that needs to go away. We need to put in something new, and we need to know if there's a trigger point to say, yeah, we want to. This is a permanent fixture in Bonneville, and we want it for the future. And what I'm saying is we don't know. We haven't had a good.
Yeah. So we need a good sub-yearling test, and I figure that's the answer. We need unit 11 on, you know, if the thing works or not. We've not, I agree with Gene, we've not had a real test of it yet.
So then you need one, or
do you need two? Well, the challenge that I've got is I've been given funds to either redesign it, or use those funds to determine how we're going to pull it out, get rid of it. So I've got funds that I need to Sam, you know, what do I do?
You don't have funds to execute that. You have funds to study it.
To study
it. So I've got funds to put a decision document in place.
Right.
But the decision document starts with the biology.
So the decision document.
Well, I guess that's the question. I mean, we have some positive indications in spring. If it doesn't do anything in the summer, the only really thing is it's a detriment in summer. Then that's really the question. If you think about removing it, do we think there's enough benefit in spring? I think some people probably say yeah. So if there is enough benefit, and survival's improved, so you probably would want to at least have them for spring.
And survival's been high in the summer, so you know you're not really doing anything bad in the summer.
We're doing about the same in the summer that we did before. Yeah. The survival's about the same as before.
So we don't think it's going to be negative.
They're pretty good. So
I would assume this is going to be part of Bonneville's long-term overall strategy.
Well,
as long as we think the spring benefit is enough to justify it.
I'd like to see, and I know we've got some preliminary information on survival on SARS from Porter Collector versus the JPS. I'd like to, that kind of information needs to be looked at, I think, real carefully. The preliminary, it's nothing simple. preliminary work shows that for the most part, the Porter Collector is showing higher SAR rates than the JPS, but not in all cases. I think, too, from a maintenance standpoint, I think, you know, you make sure that you do due diligence, you go out and check the cables, and you clean it off each year. But, it's not a good design for a permanent structure. But if we can get through this year, we test next year, and at some point we make a decision, you know, then there should be a redesign.
So it seems like the decision document is needed, and there's no reason to not draft part of it now with the data we have.
Sure.
We can look at it collaboratively. Do we have a benefit for spring or not? What's the decision path to get to these decisions? And it's going to be a year, 2 years, however much biodata we need with the powerhouse operating the way it's supposed to. And the schedule for it, and that's the start of your decision document, right? I mean, that answer the mail, and then, you know, based on what we agree on in this decision document, this decision path, and the results of, you know, the studies or whatever else we have to do to make that decision, we execute it as per the plan. Does that make sense? I mean, I don't think we can make a decision today without the summer data, and it doesn't make sense to modify it to take care of the O&M issues today, if we still have it hanging out there that we've not determined it's we're going to keep it or not, you know, until we get the bio data and get an effective bio test of it. Except the modification, that other thing hanging out there is for sub-yearlings, you know, that north gap area, do we extend it, relocate it to improve that?
Yeah.
Can we prototype that in some way?
And that to me is one of the bigger issues, because if we want to move it, it's a new anchor system, because you're not going to move the existing anchor
system. What about extend it?
Well, exactly. So to me, that is an underlying question that's out there, is there a cost-effective way to add to this BGS?
So can that be part of this effort?
That's what I'm saying. I think that the effort is there a cost-effective way before 2011 to close the gap? It's not effective. It will not be cost-effective to move it, because then it's a new anchor system, and that's where the cost will go up. But I think there is a question of, is there a way to come up with a cost-effective way to close the northern gap.
Without maybe even addressing or changing the existing BGS, putting another panel or something like that might be the way to do that.
That's what I'm saying. Is there an effective way to do that without creating more problems?
Right.
So that needs to be part of that decision document. Is there a more viable configuration for 2011?
So the decision document should evaluate all the data we have, all the biological data we have, to justify putting more fish through this route. I mean, that's the first thing. It's really better than what we have out there. How much better? We're going to find that we don't have enough data for some yearlings. That's going to be it's going to be tough.
Yeah. Well, let's lay out what we have. If we're correct and we can agree that it's a benefit for spring, then that helps. We also have the hydraulic and the behavior information that may help with sub-yearlings.
We had enough information this last year to show shoreline interaction. You know, what Derek was able to, the coverage Derek was able to do, he could reach out and say, these fish were destined for the gap, these fish were guided along, without even, you know, having a line out on the BGS. Sure. I mean, he outlined 2 years in a row that we're losing a majority of summer fish to that northern gap, both years. I mean, it's pretty obvious. But, I mean, we can consolidate that, and that's show folks.
So, George, what was your question again?
George has money.
Does he make a decision document that takes it out, or redesigns it away?
Relocate
it? So, this year, we're not going to do any construction out there. We're going to leave it as is, but we're going to provide alternatives for what to do and how to get there, and that's our decision not to be incorporating biological data, hydraulic data, etc. Yeah.
Okay,
good.
And I think we need to be to a point with the biological data to say we need to have something in place to whether we're going to add an extension on it. It needs to be this next in-water work period to have it in place for evaluation of FY11.
I think that's it, with one exception. I overlooked our light attraction
cable study.
Sean, can you speak to that a little bit?
No, just trying to lay out what the test plan is for McNary this year, testing lights at McNary.
Yeah. The plan for McNary this year is 5 species, 2 different lighting intensities, on an orifice ring, a lighted orifice ring, in the orifice trap at McNary.
Versus no light.
Is there a study design out?
Ann Setter sent it out to SRWG when we were down at Vicksburg, I think. Is that right? That week of the 14th, maybe? Ann sent it's combined with the
proposal back in November that was sent out from Gordy Axel.
Yeah, then it was pulled back, and then there was some discussion. The next thing, the only thing that came out the last time I went was the turbid unit loading study. That was the only one that was.
That was there's 2 of them. One where they were going to do it in conjunction with each other. One is the turbine loading study. The other is the orifice lighting study.
I have it.
I mean,
yeah, I have it up to date.
I thought folks had it because I saw her send it out, and I didn't go back and follow up on it.
I just remember seeing something. I've got a million emails, but one of those, it was something about that particular study.
Ann said it was still up in the air, and yeah, so I had started asking questions about why.
I'm not going to read something.
I don't think it's the study design that's up in the air. It was whether we can get an orifice rings and lighting and stuff in there was the issue.
Yeah, it was more the engineering side of it.
So the study is, we're planning to do the study. We've got, I think, the logistics laid out.
Yeah, and Gordy was supposed to clean it up and send out a revised copy just for their budgeting purposes. I can send that. I'll send that out to everybody to take a look at.
Okay.
I
haven't looked at it. I didn't want to.
Yeah. But we're still planning to move forward with testing five species, day versus night, two light intensities. And we've kind of backed away from anything other than like an orifice ring, just because that's the way we can get the light right at the orifice. We can't design anything different to try to get the lighting intensity we want or what is, you know, what's recommended without a type of orifice ring.
So we backed away from that, though?
No, we're not backing away from that.
Okay.
No, the light shooting light down light tubes
right
is a very poor way of trying to get the amount of light we need there.
Yeah.
So you're going to send out a revised proposal. Yeah. Do you have it?
Gordy modifying it. He was supposed to be sending it back in to NOAA just for budgets, and he was going to forward it to me, so I will forward it to the team.
Did they address the one issue that came up, what that light ring was? There's no way to test to see if it's actually functioning. That was the main issue with the light ring we were having, is the light tube, you can really see if you got the light functioning with a light tube.
The
yeah, there you go. You see someone down there with their head in the water. Oh, yeah, there's light there.
We talked about putting a photo sensor in there so you can actually measure the intensity of this.
Yes. Yeah, that was the one question we had. Is people were having concern with the light ring. Is you put it in there, but then you don't know if it's on.
No. It's not it's like not just the study, but for the maintenance.
Why are you talking for the study? Because if you don't know if it's actually on and you're studying something that's not working.
The
study design is... We will be measuring the light intensity in the gate well. Well, we'll have a intensity meter in there.
As long as you guys have figured out how to do it, that was the issue.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yep. We're good to go this year, and I'll send that out for you to look at.
Optimistic.
Yeah.
This particular one.
I think that's all I had.
Could you have some more?
Of course, Steve Sinker, he's been late.
All right.
Did he call
in? Yeah, he is. Steve is listening in. Steve, we're getting ready to start with Washington Shore.
Okay.
Thanks, guys.
So, Mike, do you want a handout? Do you have my handout, my updates?
I don't. I'm sorry.
Okay,
did you send them to me?
Your desk.
Oh, I haven't been back to my... Which desk?
Your downstairs desk. I thought that's where you were headed.
It is.
Do you have an upstairs desk?
I do. I have two offices in the building now.
That's nice.
Until I get moved out of one.
Which you're not hurrying to do. Which one are we on?
We're going to do the Lamprey program. Bonneville Washington Shore entrance design is focused here.
45 minutes for us to plug my meter.
Train wasn't working, huh?
Let's call kids' bus is at 8 o'clock, so I can either run to the office, try to take the train back, and I'll get here by 9, or I can just rest right here, which is really the more efficient way. Either my kid or try to just drops off at school. Computer bus.
They were cuffing someone when I came in today. And I'll tell you that your security guard people were more nervous than the guy getting arrested. So
Don't feel too good about your security guard. That got through the bag.
Oh, yeah.
I totally forgot about it.
We've got some, a lot of stuff.
That's true.
They're not checking for knives.
Yeah, they were. This guy in front of me had a penknife this big that said, don't bring that in.
Yeah, I guess some guy had a pipe in his pocket that he didn't want to put in.
You shouldn't flash that thing around while you get tackled.
Yeah. They want my cuticle remover.
Yeah, I assume it's hot pipe.
I go for my cuticle tester.
It wasn't a pipe bomb.
It wasn't a steel pipe.
Yeah, it wasn't a pipe bomb. It wasn't a pipe bomb. But anyway, as I said, the security security features.
Yeah, I gotta say, the whole wanding now, that's delightful.
You
yeah.
guys go through that?
You have oh,
to
I don't.
Oh, I get totally wanded.
Sorry.
Yeah, they don't have to stand there like this. Oh, yeah.
It doesn't matter if you're on the list or not.
It doesn't matter, you get wanded.
Unless you have to search,
search your bags.
You don't have to do it if
you've got the magic.
You can put a couple grains on there. And we're gonna tear the whole thing out.
One that way, and this one that way.
I just passed them that way.
Okay, I'm sending around a copy of my update and the PowerPoint.
Yeah.
I realize that the writing on the PowerPoint is hard to read, however, you have a sense of impact from the presentation. So I'm going to have Christy go, and then I'll go through my update.
Okay, one guy actually cares about Lamprey. They didn't get one. That's it, guys.
Steve is calling in from
they're going this way.
So.
Very slow.
I tried to send them both ways, guys, but I think it got derailed on the guy.
Oh, we should go this way.
I'll get some popcorn.
I have it, except for the top sheet that you're passing on.
Okay, Natalie, you see your method here. You just changed the date on last month.
No, it was a mistake.
This presentation was vaguely familiar.
She didn't even do it electronically.
No, everything.
I was looking at the presentation, but these look familiar.
Yeah. I was like, oh, I can't believe I got that. It's been crazy since I got that. Okay, everybody has a copy? Ready to go? Okay, so Christy's our technical lead. She's going to tell you where we're at on alternative four. The importance of this is that our kernel has asked us to go for plans and specs. So we're really hoping that alternative four will be good for everybody. We'd like a commitment today that it's going to be what you would like to do, so that we can move forward, because we're going to try to go to construction basically in September. So that's where we're at. John's here too, and John, Christy, Steve, and I have been working really hard on trying to address the concerns and find water and figure all that out. So Christy, you want to go ahead?
Okay, sure. So, I can figure out how to... Check the bottom and the back.
I'll just have to. I'll switch it.
Bottom. It's on.
It's on.
Yeah,
it's going on. Okay. Well, if you can't do it, I'll just sit here and watch and turn them for you. Just let me know.
Okay. So the goals for the Washington Shore project are to provide a lamprey or improve the lamprey passage at the Washington Shore. While not compromising the salmon passage. And we're trying to provide a lower velocity lamprey passage that passes through rounded corners. Okay. So in November, we presented an alternative one that it had the variable width weir, bollards, same thing we did at Cascade Island. And the CFD results showed that there was a weak surface jet and the bollards didn't sufficiently slow the flow. And there was insufficient head drop with the existing water supply. So our team was tasked to investigate an alternative entrance weir and then also a separate lamprey entrance. And so Steve has done a ton of work looking at this alternative entrance weir, and he found that it's going to be a three-piece weir that would be required. It was a very cumbersome operation, it appeared to be. It looked like it was going to still have a poor approach for lamprey, and it may not provide the desired hydraulic results. And we still have the problem of insufficiency head drop with our existing water supply. And it was apparent that more investigation was required to determine feasibility, and we don't have time for that to go and do construction in the next in-water work period. So the team decided to go with this alternative four that I'm going to present to you. It's a separate lamprey entrance system, and the we'd like to go ahead and construct this in the next in water work period. Next slide. Alternative four, like I said, is a separate lamprey entrance. It's completely below the existing entrance gate. It's going to have pipe flow that feeds the rectangular lamprey entrances, and it spans across the entrance opening. The entrance velocity is about 2 feet per second, and there's actually two entrances, one at elevation 0 feet and one at negative 16. The upper entrance goes through the south wall to a trap and hole. I have a whole bunch of pictures. I know this probably doesn't make sense right now. And the water supply is going to be from the ERC, and the ERC is screened for juvenile fish and debris. Next slide.
What is the emergency relief conduit? That's the JBS water from the primary dewatering structure in the juvenile bypass system that gets screened off.
But when you trip the ERG, what is
that? ERC?
It goes through the ERC.
Then what?
Yeah,
don't trip
that. When you trip the ERG, it goes through the same conduit
for
as all the water.
Yes.
Right.
I know.
Yes.
And that's where you're going to end up with a lot of
fish. So if it trips and...
We have to shut the lamprey.
You would have. We were looking at putting an automated system to automatically shut down the pump when the signal to the ERG.
That works. A lot of confidence there.
Yeah. Well, they're working on it out in the field right now, trying to fix it.
That'll work as well as the automated exactly controls yeah for the launch and shore ladder are working right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are they working?
The launch and shore ladder.
Yeah.
Which control?
The SA-24 board problem. Sorry.
No.
Sorry.
No,
go ahead.
Okay.
Dolly concern.
So here's the section through the entrance. It's actually cut through the entrance. You're looking north. So this is the existing modulating weir here. This is the existing 4 foot sill and the ladder back in here. What we're proposing to do is put an LPS entrance, an upper entrance that has a plate on the back of it, so if the lamprey are coming along, they would hit the plate, go up, you know, be attracted to that flow, go up, and then up here is the plan, and it shows that this box goes all the way across the entrance. It spans the entrance through the wall, and the LPS would be on the outside of the fish ladder wall. There's also a lower entrance here that we're proposing to do that would catch any of the lamprey that are down further in the water, and this shows the water supplied by the ERC. This is not to scale, it's just to show what's going on here. And this also shows the lower LPS here that goes all the way across and over. Next slide. Okay, this is the isometric. We're looking upstream of the ladder. The sled is shown in here. This is the existing 4 foot concrete sill, and then there's a slope. As you go outside the ladder, it slopes this way. So the top LPS entrance would be up here, the lower would be down there, and it would wrap around the corner and go up that outside wall there. Okay, this is just plain view, the same thing. Our upper entrance, lower entrance, they both wrap around the wall. They go up the wall along with the water supply, which is, will be about 53 CFS. Okay, and here's the section. So now we're outside of the ladder, looking upstream, and so we have our existing weir that's in here and our sill. And this is the top, this is showing the top lamprey box. We're going to need to have a closure gate on the south wall here. And then this is the section through the lamprey box that shows the box and then that plate going through there. Okay, and here's a sketch of our upper lamprey collection box that Steve did. The water will be coming in from this side, going around, coming out. There's picket leads down here. This sketch does need to be modified. As you can see, it looks like there's some really sharp corners there. That will be changed. And then the lower collection box will be pretty much the same, except for the flow will be directed on this side more towards the corner to collect any of the lamprey that are in that corner over there.
I was doing fine now, I lost it.
It took me a while to get it too. Steve's been doing a lot of work on this and a really good job. And so this picture here shows the water supply system. We're outside the ladder again. We're looking north. This would be if you're looking at the south wall on the outside of the ladder. Yeah. So we have our lower Lamprey entrance, our upper Lamprey entrance. They merge, and then they go up to the Lamprey conduit that's fed by this blue line here, is the water supply, ERC, 2-3 CFS of water that's going to come up and feed the Lamprey conduit through side diffusers with drinking. And then this is another picture. We're looking upstream. We have our upper Lamprey box, lower Lamprey box. This is that slope surface we saw on that isometric there. And then this is the ERC water supply system here. There's a pump to run the system. And it shows the conduit and how it would be routed.
Where do the fish go?
Where do the fish go? They go in this collection box.
Yes.
Then they go around up the side of the ladder, and then they go to
up the side of the south wall,
right.
Outside the ladder.
And it's about probably about 4 feet. It sticks outside of the wall with the Lamprey box. Water supply.
From the inside of the wall.
Outside.
Outside.
On the outside of the south wall.
Outside
south side of the south wall. Where it goes.
Go back to your isometric, you might, Christy, you might want to go back to your isometric.
Okay.
Redo that.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, show them on that one.
Okay. So, sorry my pointer doesn't work, but, okay, so we're looking outside. This is where the slide goes. This is the upper Lamprey collection box. It's going to be right here. And it's going to wrap around, or it's going to go through this wall here, then go up. There's another Lamprey entrance that'll be down here. It'll wrap around, connect with the other box, and it'll... Right.
So it's not actually going to be on the outside of the wall.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
It's all going to be outside the wall.
Yeah, they have to go through the wall.
It's going to be outside on this side.
Yeah.
It's going to be going through this wall.
Yeah, not wrapping around the corner.
That was one of the concerns last meeting. Okay. It's set the south wall. You can't see it.
We're going to go through the south wall and then...
So just concrete?
Concrete.
Do the pipes merge before they go through the wall, or are there two different holes going through and then they merge?
They merge on the outside.
Merge on the outside.
The bottom one's on the outside. It doesn't.
It's already on the outside.
Right.
Yeah. According to page 10.
Yeah, 10.
Which I gave you. I need that back.
Yeah.
Now,
where are you tying into the ERC? Well, the ERC seemed to supply was over on the
bottom.
Right.
Right.
So
the ERC,
So it was coming off.
Right. So the ERC tap, Steve's been working on this. Not all the details are worked out yet, but we got this general schematics in here so you can just get a general idea of what's going on. And I think that was my last slide.
Yeah. Questions for the next
So
this is the collection mounting. This is an alternative report getting ready to go to an EDR.
We'll finalize. She's put the AAE on hold, but this will be the new report.
Yeah.
So we'll document it.
This is the DDR.
Can we have one conversation at a time, please, so that we can keep moving on?
So Kyle's question to me was, will this be the alternative that we will document in the DDR? That's correct. That's what we will do. So the 50% was provided to the team, but we didn't know about the issues with the weir. So this is the final. This will go in, and then it will come out as a 90% DDR.
But the alternative selection, is that going to be documented in the DDR, or is this an alternative study, I guess is what I'm saying?
Yes. They're combined because of the short time.
Okay, so the alternatives 1, 2, and 3 are going to be in here too. We're going to say we threw those out.
Right. site because of water issues, basically. And the projection of the flow into the tailways wasn't good from the fishery standpoint.
Is there, do we do costs on these, or is that?
We have not done costs yet. That, because, you know, not until we finalize this, then the A&E firm will take over and do everything and finish that document.
Where are the sleds in relationship to the entrance?
So this is the bulkhead slot here, or sled slot, goes right in here. So the upper entrance will be in the between the gate and the sled. The lower entrance will be outside of that.
The lower entrance, the top of it, will be generally flush with that horizontal floor at minus 16.
Right, so here it's shown up a little bit. It'll be moved down.
Okay.
So are there any issues with us moving forward with this entrance style on it?
We'll consider it a prototype because it really is prototype for us. Something we've never done before.
Looks like it's not going to affect your ladder velocities at all come out.
Right. No. Right, and that was some of your concerns.
Right. So how, this is going all the way up the ladder to the forebay in
well,
this tray?
Well, we're just going to go until the LPS will be filled by Mary Mosier and Jim Simonson group, and then they will have to decide where. We haven't quite figured that detail out yet.
But the idea, this is a separate system. It's going to, oh, okay.
Right now, yeah. Okay, let's go back to the slide. Okay, so Kyle, the OPS would start, you know, somewhere in this range. We didn't know exactly how far we wanted to take it. You know, we went to the elevation 35, that's one of the highest forebays. And so then the LPS would go.
We're going to start with a collection box, is that?
We'll probably build whatever we can. Probably what we did at Cascade Island, we built to a certain point, and then we had a collection box for the first year, and then we were taking it all the way to the forebay on Cascade Island this year.
Right.
Don Rose has had some good ideas on how to route the LPS to avoid interferences in the project.
Yes, that detail has not been worked out yet.
How are you going to evaluate whether it's effective for the lamprey?
Well, we're probably going to have resting boxes in there, and we'll have a pit tag reader, and so we'll do similar to what we did at Cascade Island, where we're going to have two readers somewhere, and then we'll know if they're going and how many from the catch and haul.
So when can we expect to see some more detailed drawings? These are kind of piecemeal.
Yeah, so we haven't started plans with specs yet. So we wanted to make sure we had a firm way to go forward with the A&E group. So once we finish and we make the commitment, we will negotiate the contract to do the plans and specs, and that will start sometime in February. And then we probably won't have detailed drawings until, I would say, the June-ish time frame.
That's pretty good.
Would be my guess.
As the contractor's doing the plans and specs, we're going to finish up the DDR in-house?
Yeah, they're going to move concurrently.
They're also doing the DDR as well.
Okay, so they're going to come up with like a 30% DDR or something for reviews and all that sort of stuff.
They've already done the 50%, so they will finalize and do a 90% DDR.
And that's, will that be the first review?
No, that's the second review. The first review was the 50%. Fitterwick had. But
not this, though. I mean,
that's
this,
true.
I'd like to see some little better drawing, so it's, especially the entrance. That's just, I'm not so worried about how it gets up there, but how it could affect sound passage, if it would. I don't think it will, but I'd like to look at. Yeah, I mean, this is hard to visualize, but what it's going to look like, especially with a lot of the outside entrance.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty low for salmon passage, but it does have some flow.
It does, and it's sticking that in there. I mean, that drawing, I'm not sure if that's really what it looks like. That's just a conceptual drawing.
It takes
a while.
I'd
like to see what a little more firm.
Okay.
Either, I mean, before you say, okay, we're done, we're building this thing, we'd like to at least have a chance to comment.
Yeah, If you add on to that isometric drawing, I think it would help to have where it really looks like, and maybe close in a little closer to it. That would
you must have an idea what it's going to look like.
Steve does.
And he's on the phone, so he can describe it to us.
Somebody has an idea. Can you draw the picture for us, Steve? So would you do that and send it to us?
So, the isometric, basically showing where the tap would be on the ERC coming around, and you can see where the pipes are. I mean, I think
let's see a drawing of the whole, what it looks like from the outside, from looking upstream towards the entrance.
Well, I don't, it's not going to look a lot different from this drawing right here.
It'll be a better scale.
In that drawing.
Yeah, but take the grid lines off of that.
That looks like a cartoon to me. Is that really what it's going to look like?
Basically.
This thing is going to stick out into the forebay or the tailbone, something like this?
No, it's going to be below and then fall down. I mean, yes, it will be into the tailbone.
I think that makes his point that, he's not getting the the good sense of what it's going to look like. And
so what I hear you saying is we don't have a go forward here.
I didn't hear that, but I heard that are you going
to always have a chance to review designs at percentage points? And
yeah, well,
comments.
So that's we're not at design.
That's what they're asking.
And I'm asking for
alternative selections.
So
they're
going to see plans and specs, right?
Yeah, of course.
So there you go.
You're going to see plans and specs.
And that's what we're asking. We're going forward with plans and specs on this.
No, we're not going to. You already saw the 30. We're going to just do a 90.
No, so we have the DDR. The DDR going. The 50% was done. That was when we got the feedback from you that the entrance that we had wasn't acceptable.
Okay.
So we had to go back to the drawing board, provide you an entrance, which we did in short order. And now we're going to have to document that. And that goes for take us to 50% to 90%. So you will have a chance to review that DDR. And then you will also, we're going to concurrently start plans and specs. If you feel it's a good way to go, we'll start plans and specs because we have to work concurrently to make August. We have to award, we have to put it out to bid. So, and that's in having the ladder dewatered was the main issue. This is when the ladder is dewatered.
So what's the next review document they will get? Is it going to be plans and specs, some percent?
It'll probably be at 90% and then probably plan like the initial plans and specs.
90%. So they'll see the 90% DDR,
right, exactly.
And that'll have
I mean,
a rendition of this, and then the plans and specs, which is kind of our normal way to communicate what we're building. I mean, someone's got to be able to look at those and build it. So
right,
you'll see those as they come up.
You're doing 90% DDR and the plans and specs at the same time. So if we get the 90% DDR, and I'm not saying that we will, we say, no. You guys are hanging out there.
We've already gone into at some stage plans and specs, but it's not 90%.
No, it's not 90% plans and specs. We don't want an argument from the contractor because all of a sudden his work dries up.
But isn't what we're really looking at is what are these attachments look like in that isomeric drawing?
Yeah.
I would suggest that as soon as possible, we get that drawing sent out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And just make sure, are there red flags now? Because relatively speaking, that pink box that goes horizontal looks like a sore thumb.
It does.
But there's ways to fix that. So, I mean, but my point is that pink box, when you put it in the isomeric, is it still an issue?
Right.
So I think they're just trying to get a scale. Yes, so if you put a lip that an adult salmon's going to come up and hit their head on, or do you need to slope it back down and hit the concrete? That's
exactly
what we're looking
right,
at.
Laurie, just want a picture. Boy,
so I think that would help them. I'm not saying going forward is not the right thing, but I think you want to give them a better view of what that looks like on the outside.
Dry, right? This is, like I said, more of a cartoon than a drawing.
So you want more detailed drawing last? Maybe some CFD, right?
We don't need CFD.
This is 56 CFS.
Yeah.
We have to figure out a way to take that isometric, which is the CFD drawing, and add piping and everything else to it. And I don't know quite how to do that at this point, but we can talk to CAD people and see what we can do.
Okay.
We'll try to get that done. I don't see an easy way to do that at this point, but I haven't talked to the CAD people yet, so we can get that out as soon as we can figure that out.
Well, if it's in CFD, we can do it within CFD already.
Oh, were you no awake?
Yeah, we have to just make solids.
Okay, Laura,
you guys take care of it.
Kyle, go down there and draw some.
Okay, I've got action for Natalie. She will look into a little better view with that isometric. Lori will help. Okay, and I think from what we've heard so far, there's no real concerns about what we presented here for Salmon Passage.
No.
Even with a structure down there at the bottom of the river, I mean, is that really an issue? Even if it looked like that.
The sea line's all out on it.
It's underwater.
Maybe it uses the whole bottom.
There's no.
Maybe it'll drown out.
There's almost no velocity very bottom.
Right. Bad area.
Can we just have a picture?
This is glad I showed him.
One of the things we were thinking of doing, and I don't really show that very well, and the isometric will help with that, is that we sort of plan to square off that sloping section with plates, and so it will cover up the pipe as it passes in front of the entrance, and then so it's basically a pretty rectangular area.
So it could end up
it's gonna
like
slope
all the way, you know, could be like this piece all the way extended out.
We haven't worked with that detail. Okay, so you just make that solid. Make it solid. We can make it a box. Remember, he's from Missouri. Okay, so anything more on Bonneville before I go into all the other land break stuff? Thank you. Okay, so we're going to have our bi-monthly meeting where we get all the, you know, the tribes together with the team.
Okay.
And that'll be February 11th. It'll be at McNary. We're doing it at McNary because they want to look at the modifications we're making at the McNary lab. Yep. So if you have any interest, you know, let me know and you could
what
join
is this
them.
Again?
It is February 11th out of McNary. If you have any interest, let me know and we can give you the details. I don't know when Erdic is meeting. It's our bi-monthly Lamprey meeting.
Oh, well, McNair.
It's our meeting.
No, it says 10-year Lamprey plan. Is that the tribe's plan?
No, it's our plan.
It's your plan.
It's our plan. We meet with them every other month to go over details and plan ahead.
I'll talk to you later.
Right. Okay, the other thing, we've been, basically when we met with some of the tribal elders, our upper management, our colonel, met with them for their request, and they asked us to look into several things. And one of the things they asked us to look into was the screen, the screens of the STSs and the ESVSs. And so we're trying to put together a team to look into these details, and so I just want to let you know it's in progress, and we'll keep you posted.
I got a question back to your February 11th meeting. I'm sorry.
Sure.
You have here with Critvic and the tribes. Is this in accord? Kind of an accord?
Yeah.
So is this open to Federweg, or is this really just the Corps and the tribes? Because that's part of our agreement was that we would meet with the tribes.
But it's a site visit too.
So
no,
not
if
an issue,
you wanted
right?
to come to a site visit, you wouldn't necessarily come to our meeting, but you could come in and see what the modifications are in McNary if that's important.
Thanks.
To you.
Thanks for the clarification.
Yeah. I'm sorry I didn't
state
it clearly.
That's the week of Erdic, the scheduled trip of Erdic.
No. Would like to look at those mods that Tom and Smitty about it. You know, they're going through, actually what they're doing there is they were going to have two of the orifices modified and put the shallow, wide orifices put in and working, and the rest of them not working. We did some problems. They were going to pull bricks out from the ones that weren't working to get them into, you know, to start them. Now they're putting in a pulley and
a flap gate
on all of them. So it's getting more complex as we speak.
Yeah.
And it's getting to the point where I think I'd like to have a look at that.
So this is already established with the tribes to have this meeting, but we'll have to schedule. We can schedule a separate site visit for this.
If you want to talk, maybe bring it up at their fitter week. I don't know when they're
asking.
Is it too late?
24th, 25th. That's too late for water.
Well, Mike, do you want me to look at rescheduling the week after that?
Can we notify the Walla Walla team that Federwig wants to see? Because I don't know when Bucks Walla Walla Federwig is, but...
24, something like that.
I can let Mike, I can let Derek know.
Yeah.
Okay. That affect your court meeting then,
too? I'll leave the court meeting as it is. I would really prefer not to shift it because I have the worst time trying to get schedules that give me one day.
If you have a day schedule for the tribes, keep it.
Yeah, you understand.
Oh, yes.
Okay. The other thing I want to let you know is that we're going to retest the Cascade Island entrance for your request. So we're in the process of trying to get tags and all that stuff. Have some logistical issues. Okay, anything more on Lamprey that you want to chat with me about? Okay. So for adult salmon and steelhead studies, basically all I can tell you is that all of the MIPRs are out and we're struggling basically with NIMS upper management right now, but we hope to get them all out. Okay. Okay, so for John Day North Fish Ladder, okay. So the fish exit is out of construction, as you know, and there's a small update here, you know, 80% of the concrete rear demolition is done. We're in the process of putting in forms for weirs 13 and 14 on the north side, and they're going to pour next week. And so I'm bringing it up to you guys because I know that way back when you had requested to come see a weir. So what I'd like to, I've been talking to Harry Galanopoulos, who's our resident engineer, and saying you guys would like to come out. So I don't know exactly when, he doesn't know the exact date, but probably within the next 2 weeks, there will be, probably toward the end of the next 2 weeks, there may be a time if you would like to come see one of the weirs, both north and south pieces, it will be poured and ready with the forms pulled. So I'm just flagging you, I don't know exactly when it will be, but.
So as soon as you let us know.
Yeah, at the end of the next 2 weeks is sounding good, but let us know soon.
Well, let's find out when their McNary trip is, too. Maybe you guys could combine two site visits that way.
Well, yeah, the spill wall, we've been trying to get out to the spill wall, too. Yeah. So that was, I think.
Okay, we could combine those two.
Going to do that on the 14th, but.
I don't think you're going to see much of the spill wall anymore.
We're not going to have time. So.
Last week of January was best week.
Yeah.
Last week of January?
Yep.
27th or 28th is the avian right. Predation stuff.
And where's that at?
That's here in Portland. Yeah, it's here in Portland.
So I'm hearing the 26th, whatever, the 26th, 25th, 24th-ish. I don't have a calendar for me. So
25th is Monday.
26th
would
be Tuesday.
25th, okay. So roughly
is Monday, 26th is Tuesday, so either of those days would be fine.
Okay, so I'll send that back out to Harry. See if that works with the schedule. He's the contractor's updating the schedule, so. Okay. Okay. Anything else on the fish exit construction work? Questions? Okay. So for the DDR, so the fish exit DDR work, we expect to have a 60% DDR February 1st. So we will make it a PDF, send it out through Mike to you guys, so you can give us your comments on it. Okay. We awarded the 13.8 kV tap, so that's the power from the two generators coming all the way over to the six pumps. So they're going to be working on that power supply. And so sometime in January they'll start with the notice to proceed. Then we're working on the next phase of the pump work, which is the plans and specs piece. They're working on the specs right now to go to plans and specs. To do those six pump modifications, and then what I'm also trying to negotiate with John is still here. John and I have been chatting about how we could fund that with ARRA money, if possible. If another ARRA bill comes through, how could we do that? And so, it could be that we'll end up with a big contract with mandatory work, and then options that we will execute once we get money available. So, that's where we are with the pumps. Are there any questions on fish entrance work? Okay, then that's all I have.
Janet?
You're welcome.
I want to, you guys okay to keep rolling? I didn't have Sandy on the agenda. I'd like to, she's ready, just slip her in now, if everyone's okay with that, for the spillway pit antenna work.
Oh.
You don't have a thumb drive, I hope.
She's learned.
That wand may be a little more personal this time.
I was ready, it's gonna be coming through in a few minutes.
A little more personal wandy procedure this time.
Real creative where he hides it.
That's what it felt like this morning.
That's what Jim was saying. The wand and all.
Yeah.
Next time they'll have those full body scanners that they're going to put in the airport.
Right, yeah.
It's amazing what we have to go through because of one person.
Yeah.
A real incompetent person throws the whole world into a panic.
Because if he had been competent at all, he throws that off.
Well, I thought you meant at the front end. There's a bunch of incompetents there, too, when they got warned by the father.
Yeah. I mean, if you're talking about...
What father turns in his own kid? And then they didn't take it seriously.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I'm assuming that the accord meetings are only between the action agencies and the tribes.
That's what I'm assuming too. Yeah. So I think we get thrown out too.
Not all the time.
Not all the time. It's a special situation.
Yeah.
I get thrown out.
Could be a little chilly up there in February.
February. Oh, that's the Electionary.
It's hard to find them. It's sort of.
I won't force you to read it out loud.
It's like a random thought.
And we'll be at Quiz Show.
There it is.
Hutchinson. Yeah, I think I know the answers already. I should have.
I do it instantaneously on the word balcony.
Has a red tag.
He's
a mandatory operator for years. When I say red tag, I actually beat a path around.
Well, I just guess because what's been coming up is just
probably
It's right next to Starbucks. There's a little Starbucks there on the Gaylor. It's where the new park is.
We're right. Okay, let's go ahead. I think Sandy's ready now.
He's
real
good.
Yeah.
Good.
All right. Sorry,
buzzer. So this is a project that's been ongoing now for a few years, and what we're trying to do is develop a pit tag system for the spill bays at Bonneville Dam, as well as the spill bays that have TSWs and RSWs. But what I'm going to talk about today is the goal to make a system for the spillways at Bonneville Dam. So here's Bonneville Dam. I always like to give you guys looks to show you what you know. Here's spillway in action. And here's the drawing. So basically, as you all know, I guess it's one of those ones that doesn't take the lid very well. So Bonneville Dam has a vertical rising gate versus Tanner gate, so the fish come, they don't have to sound down before they go through the system. And so we looked into where do we put these antennas. So we had a few different places. I mean, we didn't want to put them in the forebay because we want to basically know that any fish we detect has actually gone through a spillway. And so the two questions then were whether to put it onto the OG or whether to actually attach it to the antenna itself. And the Corps originally didn't want it into the OG, so Digital Angel, which is now back to being Destron Shearing, so names change, maybe to protect innocent.
Are there any?
I don't know. Maybe not. And so basically what they came back design was to install an antenna on the tail race side and install two different antennas, each of them 5 by 25 feet. And they did some prototype testing back in Minneapolis and it looked pretty good, but obviously the spillgate metal is a lot more metal than you can have, you know, in sort of making a little frame. And traditionally in PITTAG's systems, what we do is actually remove all the metal and replace it with non-ferrous material like fiberglass, rebar, and things like that. But obviously, for a spill bay gate, you can't replace that. So we said, no, you have to deal with the metal. And they found some promising things with ferrite tiles. So basically, we were lucky at Bonneville Dam. We have a test facility where basically we have a duplication except for the water there, and including we have some rain that comes in, and so they ended up installing this huge tarp in order to protect the electronic equipment. The other thing is that the spillway gates are not, you know, they're not square. They're actually bowed, so they point out in the middle. It's just a dangerous point. And so basically they built a wooden structure that has three pieces in order to support it. Basically they just examine a 5 by 25, there's no real reason to double it, so they were working on half of the spillgate. And so here's the wooden structure. They basically did, the first question was really whether they could shield from the metal, how much that metal was going to impact. And so in essence, by having this wheel factor that they could wheel away from the gate, get some measurements, and then wheel it in next to the gate and get some measurements. So they first took measurements without any shielding material. So here's the antenna going around this big, you know, block of wood. And then they slowly added, these are ferrite tile, they're pretty heavy, but each of them are about 4 by 4, and so they had to hammer them each in. And so what they initially did was just put strips where the metal underneath the spill gate, actually water cascades through it, so it's like a rib. And so they basically put the ferrite tiles to match that rib pattern. They took measurements again, they took the measurements away from the gate and then next to the gate. They then put a whole, you know, the whole face covered with ferrite tiles. And they also did a test where the wood was put on and then they put aluminum sheeting, basically big aluminum foil in essence, but very thick aluminum foil, to see what the impact there was. And so basically the next question is, could we energize a tag when it's next to the metal? And which of those shielding approaches, configurations, is really the best? And basically what you look for is the least amount of power to energize a tag at a set distance. And so in this case,
the full sheet
has the least amount of power. There's not really that much difference between the ribs or the strips and the full sheet. And so that was promising, that, you know, we could actually be next to metal and energize the tag. You know, this is, in this configuration, was 33 inches below.
Sandy?
Yeah.
How much weight
do those ferrite tile add to that structure?
There are a lot that's heavy. If you look at what they built, that wooden structure, and it's beefy because they actually add a lot to it.
And is that a problem for the gate?
It may well
be. It could be.
Yeah, we haven't looked at. I mean, I assume this is just in theory on whether you can get steel to...
Basically, this initial work was the electronic questions. You know, can we even do it electronically?
Yeah.
And then we'll worry about making it work. Making it really work.
Which is,
what is the level of sufficient shielding? What do you have to get down to?
Well, you basically have to be... What we originally asked in our work was, if the gate were open 5 feet, you know, could you detect a tag anywhere in that water column?
If there's a bottom piece, you say, provide sufficient shielding. So are you saying like a level of like 10 and below is sufficient, or?
Well, it depends on, it's one of those catch 22s. I mean, it depends on the transceiver you're using and energy like that. But basically, you're right. I mean, you probably want to be 8 or below in this. I mean, like the no shields at all was not going to work. So this was all with a 5x25, but as I said before, the spill gate, because it's bowed, that means when you have a 5-foot antenna, it really sticks out on the ends. And we all know, if you look at Bonneville Dam, the water doesn't just go underneath, it also cascades from the side and things like that. So we were then going, let's not have it stick quite so far out, let's look at 3x25 antennas. And so basically, this is the results from the 5-foot one that we saw before. And in essence, with the ferrite there, is that they could only read when the gate's open 2.5. By the time you're out here, add another foot because the OG is starting to go down. So so the gate can be open 2.5, but you're actually reading, 3.5 feet down. Where we determined. So, but when we went to a 3-foot, basically, because you're right next to that metal, that entire 3-foot is underneath the metal. We looked at a contoured hugging 1-2, and that did even worse than this because it was even closer to all the metal structures because it was really following the entire gate. So then they were just actually playing around while they were moving and dealing with all these ferrite tiles. Yuri went over and just hung an antenna on the other side of the gate. And eventually, because it looked promising, they put a ferrite shield underneath the gate so that then they could actually explore more what these different structures could do. So this is a vertical one, which is basically just attached to the face of the gate, and then they try different angles underneath.
You said this is upstream or downstream?
These are all on the tailway side. So we'll see a little bit here. I mean, obviously, this is all downstream. So basically, they had one that was hung next to the gate, and then one that they tried different angles. They tried both 52 and 30 degrees, and the 52 did better. In essence, the reason this does better is because it's further away from the metal. It's not too surprising, the results, but one thing that was a little surprising is they actually, with just a 3-foot by 25-foot, they were able to be able to feel like they could detect the fish in a column if it were open if the gate were open 4 feet. Again, that means in that area, it really has to cover,
The orientation
5 feet
looks down. So unlikely.
Yeah, there's gonna be problems.
Something hanging out like that.
Because it's not just the water you have to worry about. You have to worry about the air that's coming down the face of that, and that air needs to be supplied to the water so that the jet goes, springs free of that lip. So a lot of these configurations, even though they might be out of the water, if they're blocking the air, they're gonna create little negative pressures underneath there, and they're gonna suck the jet up, and it's gonna
blow up,
blow your equipment off, or it might really damage the gate. So there's a lot of,
I
assume we're at the point where we're going to start talking about that.
That's where we're told. As I said, this was basically electronic questions.
And then
what we've been trying to do is get to this here in order to then ask. I mean, obviously, we envision that this would be open, it would basically just be, wouldn't be solid. It would be like a...
It'd be a ring.
It'd be a donut. But we envision that, you could do anything you wanted. to make it so it would work as long as we could have that ring. So, in essence, you know, this looks promising. Again, sort of, you know, the improvement sort of as we went basically away from the gate allowed you to be more of a vertical distance. Obviously, I shouldn't have said that. I mean, obviously, you know, just reading down, you have to read enough of an area in order to be able to read a pit tag going through. So, in essence, being able to read 2 feet, because the water's going to be moving about 64 feet per second there, would allow us to read about 1.5 times with a normal tag. So, you know, some of it to improve this would be, because right now they put it right against the gate, would be to actually put a ferrite tile, you know, between the gate and the antenna. That would improve it. And potentially having a 5-foot antenna, you know, obviously you go further up because, you know, the bottom line has to be, you have to be able to close the gate. So you can't hang, you know, an antenna low enough that you can't close the gate. So these, as I said, electronically these are then what you would do next to do it. But there's no sense doing that if, you know, there's no point putting a system there. So, you know, then this is where, you know, we would work with the Corps about what does that antenna housing look like if you could, in fact, put, you know, vertically placed antenna. Obviously, we'd like it to stay attached. Doesn't do much good if it takes off and goes to Astoria. So, and again, you know, whether it needs to be protected against debris, whether, you know, we certainly don't want to hurt the gate. So, those are that. So then, what alternatives do we have to going with the gate, you know, to an antenna attached to the gate? We are going to use an OG-based antenna system at Ice Harbor. We're going to do it in front of the RSW. We are there. And another is to say, okay, the gates that we have right now, are, you know, they're due to get replaced, is can we incorporate the antennas into that new gate? We've learned a lot of information. Some of which I'll also talk about in the next couple slides about the OG-based system. One attraction thing to the OG-based system is that, you know, you can have redundant antenna arrays, which is really attractive in terms of data collection and also operation and maintenance. It's something that the Pacific States always really wants to stress. So they came up with two different designs, one sort of the traditional kind of flat plate design, and the other one that I call the ice cream cone approach. But anyways, a V antenna, and you know, there's a few things that the OG does. There's no debris issue, doesn't affect your hydraulics, doesn't do anything to the gate. Obviously, you have to dig into the OG. I mean, one thing I've learned about Ice Harbor, what's nice is there's no rebar in the OG. Concrete is just poured concrete, so you know, they're absolutely fine with the idea of having to dig a tunnel that's 3 feet. What we've learned already is it's certainly not going to be 7 feet wide trench. We'll see in the next slide. They've done 40 inches, and even that's giving us too big of a field, so it would even be narrower than that. So in some preliminary tests that they've done with 5x10 antennas, which, you know, on a 50 foot across, that would then give us 5 antennas. I'm actually asking them to investigate smaller ones so we can get away from tag collisions. The other big thing with pit tag is if you have multiple tags in the field at the same time, you end up not, you know, it depends how close they are. You can get it so you don't detect some fish because of that. So anyway, when they did it, they were actually able to basically have a field that looked like this. There was a hole. I mean, it was not too big, but there definitely was a hole between the flat plates. We see that in stream research studies. We try to keep our antennas about 2.5-3 feet wide by the most. We don't want that hole in the middle because it then looks like a double reed. But the ice cream cone one really was amazing because it basically went like way out there. So that's where we're asking them to narrow it. At Ice Harbor, the depth, the worst the depth is on all their calculations is about 4 feet deep. So what I want to do is make it a narrower field so that we can reduce the tag collision problem. So, but anyway, this is really promising. And, you know, if we just keep getting enough antennas in there so that it ends up helping us. But obviously the other approach, we were just talking about two antennas. So anything that can get us more will help. So then this is just stuff that I worked on real quickly last night. So don't imagine, you know, don't visualize all the bad drawings. I just stuck what I had gotten on the other one. So you could really, any design you want, you know, this bottom one can look any way you want on these new antennas. Basically, is to incorporate the antennas in your is in your new spillway gate, and my guess is the V-shaped gate antenna is really probably the one you're going to go to. But you do have to maintain access to these. But you know, you do have a lot of potential. The other thing, you know, one of the reasons I angled it here is because we really want to make sure we only get the fish that have gone through. But we can do that by, you know, adding metal plates to prevent the field from going that direction too. As I said, this is just really, you know, you guys know better than I how you're going to design the gate. We have requested a couple times that, you know, we'd be part of that discussion, because it just seems like if we're rebuilding them, we should put pit tag detection in there.
We're not designing them now, right? I mean, it's kind of, that's on hold.
It's on hold because of money or something. Right?
Yeah, I don't know. So you're not missing anything.
No, I'm not missing anything. I'm just saying that.
You know, they're testing the OG shape. I mean, the shape of the bottom of the gate. You know, in the model at Erdic.
Yeah,
there's stuff going on.
Yeah, there's stuff going on for it. I'm just saying that you really, you know, and I don't know how wide they need to be. You know, but there's definitely things that.
Well, that might be the way to look at it. Instead of putting the gate, if we redesign where the lip sill is, that might be the thing to put the V.
Right. No,
I'm wondering too, why wouldn't we go that route?
The OG actually seems like
that's
a better way,
more promising to me.
If we're going
to
tear into that anyways, not to.
Yeah, that's what I haven't heard. But as I said, I would almost prefer going in the OG because we could get multiple antennas.
It was a structural thing.
They didn't want it originally.
Where did that come from? I don't recall hearing that.
Yeah.
Well, it was. I don't. You know this. You know, I'm not
other than the only thing I could think of is right now at the time we've got erosion problems on the OG, and we probably don't want.
But not that far up on the OG. Yeah. I mean, there'd be pretty strict kind of criteria for the OG too. We need offsets, and you're worried about negative pressures, and so it's a design issue, not necessarily.
But
I think there's less. It seems like there would be less design issues with the OG than
too.
With the gate.
That's what I mean. As I said, when we finally really started going with the OG for the RSW, I mean, to me, it's there's a lot of beauty to it. And basically, the idea on the OG, you know, for erosion was to do like the skid plate approach that we did at the corner collector. So basically, you know, you would make your OG surface however you needed to, and we would be underneath it. You know, so you're really just putting a trench across it.
So I just have a question for the upstream. You know, I mean, what's the, have we looked into, there's a capture velocity, right?
There's a capture velocity, but the real feeling was also debris was a bigger issue on that side.
And then maintenance, you do have to have access.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know, we hope we don't need to go down there, but you have to build it in that you put the tank of access. So it really just seemed the tail race side was the better to go. And as I said, you know, I'm really definitely a proponent of the OG right now because there's a lot of attractive parts to it. So, and it would make it easier if we only have to design one, you know, go down one path for development. But I am excited because when they did this initial work in December, I was not expecting to getting 6 feet off of an antenna. I mean, you know, and obviously that's in lab. You know, it's not in a screen room. It's, you know, it's in just a room. It's interesting. They put it 6 feet high, you know, because it's easier to measure something underneath it, right? It doesn't matter on a directionality than to put it down here and be climbing on ladders to try to figure out the field. Yeah, they set it up high. And also, I guess it's away from the field, too. Yeah.
It's probably gravity, though, something.
So that's, you know, as I said, questions just coming to you guys, you know, where should the antennas go, the OG, you know, keep going down the gate approach, you know, wait for the new gates, you know, wait for the results from Ice Harbor.
So you are putting them in the OG at Ice Harbor?
Yes.
We're putting them in the OG at Ice Harbor.
And when will they be?
2011.
Yeah, this winter.
No. It was supposed to be 2000. It was supposed to be happening. And we thought we could be ready.
When I say this winter, I say 2010 winter.
I'm
2010. This winter's already over. Yeah, we're done with this winter.
You're late to meetings, but you're ahead in.
Right.
Exactly.
So anyway, we're excited. You know, as I said, I am excited about that. But as I said, I guess I need to know in terms of what you want to do at Bonneville Dam. We could start moving on doing OG, an OG approach now, so that you're kind of on either 2011 or 2012 kind of thing, or you put it off until after 2011. You're then at 2013.
So is it a foregone conclusion that we're going to outfit Bonneville Dam spillway with pit detection? I mean, that, I don't think the Corps agreed to that. I mean, what we agreed to was when we do RSW surface flow outlets, new structures at the spillway, we would incorporate pit detection into it. We agreed to support this study, which is a feasibility study. And so we're jumping from feasibility to what do you want installed? What we're missing is, how much is it going to cost? What scope are we talking about? Is it 18 spill bays? Is it 5 spill bays? What's it going to buy us in terms of buy-up implementation?
And I would say part of the feasibility is whether we can. I mean, obviously, if it works at Ice Harbor, we could probably work on that. But I don't know that we've really looked into.
You need to look at the structure.
No, it'd be nice to know, how much OG face you have.
Exactly.
How much rebar?
As I said, there isn't any at Ice Harbor.
So for feasibility, you kind of have half the equation.
Right, we need to start working on the other half,
I think.
Exactly. So if my question is, if we're going to go with the OG, then we have to start getting information, what is the velocity look like in the different sections of water depth?
Locating them, structure, and
are there tunnels down below that you have to worry about?
In terms of the detection and feasibility, I mean, it shouldn't be that far off from Ice Harbor, should it?
I wouldn't think OG was
probably different, but
it is different.
It would be different.
Well, the other thing with the RSW,
it's an RSW bay.
It's not, the water's different. So.
Yeah, there's a lot of differences here. This is going to be submerged a lot of times.
On the OG maintenance, I mean, you're talking about getting access. You're having to shut down to get there.
Maybe not just that.
No, you would just do it in off season, but you have to eventually be able to get there. I mean, it's a little bit like the corner collector. We sort of a little bit built in more. Yes, you can close it, and yank it out if you needed to. But, this I envision would be a once a year type. Just we need to have access. You can't just build it so you never see them again. So.
I guess I'd go down the road of the OG. I mean, that was something that we had when we started this thing. We hadn't thought about the OG as being the place to go. It seems like it is at ICE, and the Corps is on board with that. So,
if we're going to kind of look at Bonneville as its own, I would kind of get the, now would be a good time for the engineers, I guess, from the Corps to kind of look at. And I'd rather not, you're going to have more likely you're going to have success if you have, give them both a look at. And I mean, we're talking about it kind of in this meeting, but I think we should put some of our engineers
really
on it and do it. But we haven't to date, so
because they hadn't really at Ice Harbor. I mean, like some of it, like they just gave me information a couple of weeks ago, where I really said, you sort of said the water depth's maybe going to be this. Is there any way of, with different form, really telling me?
You guys are building them?
So they were able to give us that. Because, as I said, I wanted that in terms to be able to then tell Digital Angel, I don't want the field, huge. I want this height.
So, John, are we funded for, again, like we have been in the last couple of years, to, an SCT to support this effort?
Some
of it would be, depends what some of the answers are in terms of water depth and speed. It would be a little piggybacking on to the Ice Harbor one, but there will be some questions that we don't know. I mean, one of the things, we have to do speed tests and things like that, which we haven't done at all. I mean, with the vertical one, we haven't done any.
You get away from all that.
So the other thing that we are actually looking at as well, which at the moment Ice Harbor, I'm not certain we're going to really need, is a faster tag, is a tag that instead of taking 31 milliseconds to operate, takes 16 milliseconds. And so if you have a very short field.
Shorten the data.
Well, it's shorten the data, and so you're more apt to get tags. I mean, what would be nice is that could be connected to turning a tag off so that you could get away from the tag collision aspect. But It would just, you know, especially if fish are poorly oriented and they only get in the right orientation for a short time, it would give you more opportunity to get those.
What's the tag collision issue?
Well, it's just if you have, I mean, what I understand a lot of times is the fish kind of mill, and then all of a sudden they go in as a group.
So you get a bunch of them together?
You get a bunch of them in close together. Proximity.
Can't read,
none of them will be
Can't there. Separate the tags.
Right. Because what they do is they don't...
You don't get either one?
Because the tags that we use don't actually broadcast their tag code. They modulate the field. So you can imagine the ones and the zeros, and you have to then interpret those ones and the zeros. And so if there's a whole bunch of things on top of each other, you know, ones and zeros on top of each other, then you can't distinguish that they're ones or zeros. So, you know, and as I said, I'm excited because this should be much more doable than the corner collector, you know, where we had to do a 17 by 17 foot and try to find this little speck in the middle of the net.
That's more aspect, that velocity in the corner collector that you have to deal with.
That's 40 feet. Well, the corner collector goes at like 40 feet to 50 feet, you know, depending on who you
always.
Yes. And this is, at the gate, it was supposedly 64 feet per second. So, so obviously.
So, Mike, do we need to have a discussion about the value of these data? I think we've gone over that in the past. And
qualitatively, I'd like to see the statistics. And what are we going to do with it?
It gets towards the behavior of survival performance metric. In my mind, and better precision on that. But I think there are other things we can do with it, too, in terms of survival.
Long-term monitoring.
Yeah.
I don't know that.
But it's
certainly I'm not an expert here. But you said, what will we modify and model for something we learn? More still, less spill. More take the GBS out. What are we going to do with that?
Right.
From
I guess
we take an SAR.
Three metrics in the biop. There is your dam survival performance metric. There's an in-river survival performance metric, and there's adult passage. So those three. And this argues towards the second one.
Yeah, you would get fallback, too.
Are you achieving that or not? And that could lead you into phase two implementation just as easily as failing with the first metric, the dam survival metric. People don't realize that. People don't focus on that. But there are two very strong metrics in there.
But one's a system.
One's
second's a system.
Well, no, it's not just system. It's in a river. It's dam by dam, but it's in a river. It includes the river reach as well as the dam itself. And we can cut it up any which way you want, whether it's system or dam by dam, but dam and reservoir.
Mike is right, though. You've got to look at, one, what you gain for the precision, and two, what's the relative cost versus what other things that are going on.
So given that, I think
well, we always do.
More needed
SAT,
here.
But there's people are nervous about it.
Right. Well, I mean, certainly.
That's what I guess, then, that we'd be doing this
in the short term.
All the dams?
No. I don't know that you need to. Dave's right, is how much do you get out of it? How much do you need? How much more precision do we need in our survival estimates? Bonneville is where we really
Bonneville is a key project because it's the lowest most dam.
So will this improve your survival estimate to Bonneville or to John Day? Because you're still limited by the pit trawl with Bonneville.
But if the more tags you hear,
I want to see the statistics on that. I'm not from Missouri, but
here at Bonneville, Nebraska, interrogate the more there are for Dick Ledgerwood to pick up.
So that should be an easy analysis to do. Given you assume you get 50% of your fish that go through the spillway get detected or whatever it is, what does that buy you in terms of precision for system survival? That would really help the argument. For this, and then the other side is, what's it cost?
Especially if you got to do a full spillway.
If it's, what's it cost to get to 30% detection or whatever it is we need? And I think
should be able to help with that.
Exactly.
Sure.
You need to see it.
Once you get Ice Harbor done, you'll have an idea what kind of detection you could expect from a bay.
That's an RSW bay, though. I mean,
it's still in the OG, though. It's still 60 feet per second.
They'll see how many they get from
there.
Yeah, efficiency on the
range.
Sure.
Yeah, and you can. You get a lot of information.
I think that will. I think that that would help us, and then.
And then whether then you're putting,
18 of them in.
TSW or whatever at Bonneville.
The spillway. I think the intent is the spillway will stay as it is, and operationally we're tweaking it maybe, but most of the time it's a 2-foot gate opening or so,
Yeah.
Yeah. It's going to be
so
a constant.
So in the 2 feet, you know, gate opening, you know, I would think that we should be able to get pretty good protection.
And then how it fits into the whole regional RM&E plan.
Right. Yeah.
No, as I said, I just, you know, get phone calls just like, we need more data, you know, at Bonneville. Yeah. Need more data at Bonneville.
We constantly need that. that's what the whole point of this was. Is in the it's just that I see that it does make sense to maybe wait, see what Ice Harbor gets, and maybe step away from the gates and go towards
right,
the
and then maybe get the information so, you know, we
well, if you want cost, that would kind of come out of a feasibility study on our core kind of, you mm-hmm. know, where we're looking at either putting them in the OG or putting them in the gate. We would ideally do it at least cost.
The one thought we talked about, I was talking about this idea off some of the guys pushed past it, and I said, what if we went to the Dalles, where you only have 8 bays right now that are between a spill wall, and you put an OG system in all 8 bays instead of 18 at Bonneville, what's the detriment of that?
Yeah.
I mean,
what's the benefit?
Well, no, I'm saying, instead of doing Bonneville, do it at the Dalles, because Dalles, you only have to do 8 bays.
But they're big gate openers.
They're big.
4
but if it's OJ, then it doesn't, you know, you're doing, the idea would be to use a whole bunch of little ones, and the transceivers are much cheaper.
Our problem for reef survival right now is we don't get the protections of Bonneville.
Yeah.
Well, that's the problem. But we don't need all 18. That's
yes,
right.
That,
I don't think we need
we
all
might
18
just
either.
Need eight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
that's
what,
the analysis.
Right.
Well, that was
that's
the thought
critical.
I was.
Yeah. Yeah. What phase of the fish
you
using?
You did a because you do all 18.
Most of
the
them.
And
we
you
know
that.
Gene
said
that.
So, yeah, that's
yeah, sounds good.
You can wire them all up.
Who cares?
We can figure that out.
So what bay should we be doing?
No,
the outside one?
Well, we're not there yet.
You got 18 bays. Which 8 do you want?
All right. Dave's got a question here.
I just didn't want to make more noise.
Too late.
So we're not going to go forward with any kind of decision today.
Right. Well,
but with the OG looking very promising, the tests are not going to be until 2011. Mm-hmm. Is there something that's easy to do now by getting information about the physical hydraulic natures of the spill bays at Bonneville, so we have that information ready to go to compare to what happened at Ice Harbor when we get the data back?
I mean, I think what you're talking about, Mike's information too. I mean, if he wants to know costs, and you need to do kind of a feasibility study on the core side of it, and that should, which includes you. I mean, this will answer all your questions.
No, as I said, I mean, basically, if you give us, you know, that information, then we can also help you in determining, you know, what the electronic equipment would be costing.
So, I mean, that seems like that's where we are. Now, when we decide to start that, that's...
Right.
Well, how long does it take to accomplish that?
By knowing...
Feasibility to DDR to... plans and specs. I mean, you're looking at.
I don't know if you want to go that far.
Well, but I'm saying
all I'm thinking of.
Just feasibility. Well,
but I'm talking about from where we're starting here to where you're getting it constructed. There's that. That's the whole sequence you're going to have to go through.
Right.
So feasibility. I mean, I don't know. We'd have to scope it. I don't know.
Because some of what would be interesting is you know, like as we're learning more about the antennas, is like, you know, the trench. I don't think it's certainly not going to be as wide as we originally thought, and I don't think it's going to have to be as deep either. So.
Well, and it can avoid structures, and you know, by the depth of it is narrower.
Right.
So it's,
right.
Yeah. You might be able to avoid certain.
My
things.
Point was, if we have a feasibility study completed with costs and so forth, by the time we get the results from the Ice Harbor tests,
we'll
instead of waiting for the Ice Harbor results and then going to start.
Yeah.
No, feasibility study.
Because I agree. Because you're also deciding whether you want to do it or not based on other things. That
right,
can be addressed
right.
Regardless of ice.
I had a time.
It's being addressed in other forms too. I think.
Yeah. Well, but that's going to impact the cost. Whether you say you need to get whatever detection you want, you need 8, 10.
Yeah,
so that's a cost factor.
If it's a quick, easy feasibility.
Yeah, I mean, my guess is, you know, potentially you can get a lot, so you might even need 4. I mean,
so if we keep this as a line item in SCT, that would that help with funding a feasibility study?
I think we should.
Yeah.
I know.
Do you want to
be
a lot of support for it?
It's a line item now for support.
Yeah.
As far as we've gone, as far as the core is really.
What does that mean?
What's the support?
Yeah,
well, we said we participate with Sandy and
right, make the
facility
dam.
Available
right.
for
I mean,
the
now
testing.
It's going to be gone for
and
6 months.
And folks in the field for the project.
We're going with the OG, then
yeah,
we don't want to need
yeah,
it. I would say
would,
more, you know, let's
right.
get the information
out. Let's
look at
the hydraulic folks
yeah.
And do that. That's what I'd say
yeah.
between now and Ice Harbor
mm-hmm.
getting
yeah.
done. And then
yeah.
once we know that Ice Harbor's crewed up, we can go down the road.
And then just sort of really see what those...
It puts us out for
changes. I know, it puts us out. I mean, that's
but did they do a feasibility on Ice Harbor?
No.
It's one bay.
Well,
it's the RSW
some
bay.
It, well,
bay.
Some of it is they were already going to do work.
Exactly.
It's Walla Walla.
It's a different situation.
You know, so basically, we're, you know, they're changing the lift. They're doing concrete work anyway.
They're
we're
doing
just
a bunch,
telling them.
Yeah.
But what's the difference? I mean, it's still proving up on whether the design works.
It is, but
oh, yeah.
It makes a lot of sense. If you're already doing the construction, it's a bay that, you know, a lot of fish are going to go through.
Right.
Let's not argue
Why not?
About whether we
yeah.
should or shouldn't do
no,
it.
No, no, just whether it's any of that's applicable.
Yeah, I agree with Gary. Let's get the information going and then have the discussion.
I think if we get everybody in the room, we'll find out that the information we needed.
Well, that's right. We need the rest of the information, how many bays theoretically we would
right.
need
that,
at Bonneville,
the analysis
and
that
what the benefit
Smith
would be.
Or whatever, but
yeah. First, is it feasible?
We're not going to answer that here.
No.
So then the question is, do we have the, for this year, do we have enough in the SCT line item, and do we have the in-house resources to do this work? We have 100,000. What is it, John?
Yeah, I think that's about what it is.
How much?
We usually argue for that.
I think we have to back up a little bit more
okay.
internally. Just a policy paper or something to say this is, you know, because if we start taking this on actively and we're subscribing to the need and the future use and
sign a buy up.
Yeah.
Hmm? Sign a buy up.
Well,
well we can,
I don't
we
know
can
that
do that
specifically. I mean, it says there's an in-river, if I understood, there's an in-river metric.
Yes.
We're saying in order to assess that, we agree
right.
we have to do this, we have to do it
well,
at Bonneville right. only for now?
Well,
or?
You know, you may not need it at the other dams.
Right.
I mean, that's your
well,
weak
that's,
spot.
Okay. I think there's yeah, more
anyway, if
internal
I could
internal recommendation right. here for us to pick up, because
right.
essentially you're asking us to pick up this part of the ball. Start looking
well,
at the hydraulics
and
the structural and
so.
All these kinds of things
right.
that
no,
might be involved.
If I could sort of get some, you know, just ballpark thing of what's the face, you know, what's the real estate,
right.
and then what's the depth of this water speed, that would really help.
I
yeah,
like
which that's one
difference.
Thing, but that's not necessarily going to progress it too.
No, I know it's not.
Yeah,
no.
Yeah.
Well,
we
would
need more.
Between this and what you've been doing already, to tell you the truth.
Well, we have to let you on the project.
Right. No,
working
I know. No,
there,
and I agree, and we really appreciate
that.
I mean,
that
as true. I said, we definitely have made progress here. I mean, in some sense, as I said, it's nice that at Ice Harbor, anyway, there's no rebar in there, so it really makes a very clean installation
right.
for us.
And if you have part of the feasibility
yeah.
and whether this will actually get help your estimates or not, then it's still
well,
the way
yeah,
it's feasible.
That's what I was thinking. Maybe it's not. It's a first phase feasibility.
Yeah, whatever
okay.
you want to call
yeah.
it.
What do we see the our responsibilities, the action agency's responsibilities,
and that may be part of
per the buy-off. This is the way
right.
to address
right.
it.
And is it physically possible
two,
to do
phase
it?
Two
can you
of
do
that
it?
Is
what's
out
what,
whether we can actually do it, how much is it going to cost?
Right.
What does it cost?
Just start cracking a couple of
the bottom. Well, it should cost already because you have ice harbor costs.
So that,
right.
I mean, it's
a different
I would hope so.
I mean, the cost becomes a factor down the road.
Depends on how many meters.
That's what I'm saying. It's
like a
cost. Feasibility study or the engineering.
Wait a minute. That's the buy-off requirement.
We can have that discussion. I think we should.
Like EDR.
Yeah.
How
do you... Tools that work.
It's a question.
I mean, if we don't have to fund it this year, you could fund it maybe during the same year you're doing the test and have them all completed at the same time. But it seems like you would want to do the feasibility study a little bit ahead so that as soon as you get the results, you've already made a decision. If the results are positive, we're going to go forward.
Yeah.
If not, it's dead or something in between.
I have a question, too.
So.
Is this for the unmodified bays, the middle bays?
We don't know yet.
Something in one of the slides earlier.
No one's selected a bay. It's just...
Because you're...
Deflector elevations.
Your deflector elevations.
The three ends are higher than the middle, so...
All right. So is that where you want to be, in the middle?
I think you want to be where the most of the fish are going.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which are proportionally, you know, there's more fish going through the end, the few end bays than the middle. This is lower of the spinning. This is pretty strange, you know, but there's only six
three ends.
Full width. Full power.
That's where I fish are going to be.
Full.
But which is
six working? So we see most of the fish on the...
Yeah, that's, well, they're opening more. I mean, we open them more.
So it's a little bit.
It is.
We got a meeting at 1.
We got a 1 o'clock meeting. Do we...
What do we want to do here?
What's the path forward on this?
What do you got left?
Well, I thought we were going... I thought what I heard was that Sandy would back away from the gate and work with your hydraulic folks on some of the aspects of OG, but really we're waiting for our final results to see how well that works before we pull a trigger of any sort. And then in the meantime, then maybe some discussion needs to occur with policy folks on the need for this and how it fits in with the buy-off and other regional data collection.
I guess wasn't there also something about
no?
Well, yeah, but I thought we've already been through that. That's the whole reason.
Well, we started it, but that's not what I'm hearing here, so we've got to go back and see what we get.
What did we do that we have to redo?
Dave?
The justification.
Justification.
Justification for why we were doing...
Increased
what is it
accuracy
what
is of the in-river survival estimate.
Where was that done before?
I mean, the RM&E, that's what pisses me off about that whole situation, is you don't hear anything out of that group. And
so have they done this analysis?
It was supposed to deal with these sort of issues, but where is the roadmap? You know, there's nothing. And I'm not even sure who's on the group. Maybe somebody in here is, but I'm not.
Not me.
David there.
I've been assigned.
Yeah, David, how did you watch that one?
Oops, crack.
I know, tributaries.
Yeah, that's right.
They really focused on tributary stuff, and they're getting to the hydro system.
Snooty.
And all this stuff about pit tags and tagging all these groups of fish in the region and getting all this millions of dollars of tags and millions of fish tagged, but we don't want to put any fish.
You guys on the hook for all.
I think it makes sense. That's a regional
army. I think it would be pretty simple, though, Gary, to have somebody at the Science Center work up, you know, a short.
How do you get
white paper on how much more precision you get on your survival estimates if you could detect X percent more fish at bottom?
What does that improve?
It's exactly what we did for the corner collector. It's exactly what we did.
Okay. That should be done. That should be done at the same time the hydraulic information is being shared.
So what's it going to take to get that done?
You can do it. What do you get?
Phone call.
Does it take any money, or we just you give them a task to do that?
Well, there's two parts to that, right? How many more fish do you think you'll detect? That seems like that. So,
detector so you'd have
question,
to do different
detection. Then the other part.
Right. Yeah, you'd have to do 10%, 20%, 30%.
Yeah,
do it. How many per bay can you get, and what do you need? That's we can run through some what ifs. That's something I have to learn to do.
Okay. You all right?
Gordon?
Really?
I just want to say, if we're talking about kind of providing hydraulic, I mean, that's where I was kind of saying it's more of a. It seems to me that from the Corps' perspective, it's in the feasibility of doing this, which includes kind of structural feasibility, because we might find a great hydraulic. You know, you do this piecemeal, you find a good antenna that works, and then we add the hydraulics. And then the hydraulics might scrub the locations of those antennas. You know, so I think it'd probably be more efficient to get all the kind of the people that are going
to
be structures, mechanical.
Like what kind of water depth, you know, is it a lot more?
And Bonneville's
sure, that's one thing.
Rebar. I mean, they're like a huge rebar cage. Yeah. Bonneville's OGs are.
They are.
I mean, huge. How about that? So it's like how much are you going to have to?
Well, that's the question. I've got the feasibility study.
The OG itself has a bunch of
probably down by the deflectors. I don't know that. But we can look.
I mean, Pier Nose, too. I don't know if it's in
the Pier Nose have a lot.
Pier Nose still have that.
I got to move us along, or we're not going to get lunch today. So here's what we can do. Can we get make sure we'll get some labor for these guys? Can you guys find time to just do some coordination and figure out what kind of scope we might need with NEMS, with Sandy and her group, and just scope it out for now so we know what we're talking about in terms of an effort from us, feasibility. What's okay. And meanwhile, Gary's going to call Steve Smith and get the statistical analysis done, or we'll talk to the R&E group. Or
actually, it's probably say the corner collector one and expand.
You're right.
You need it from corner collector.
Yeah. Okay. Let's go on to
Sluiceway Mods.
Sluiceway Mods.
You done?
No.
Dennis has an update.
I can kind of give you an update. Right now, as of next week, they're going to all the wall removal is almost complete. So the demo portion of the contract is pretty much complete, and the contractor will demob. The guy's doing all the cutting and demob. And then week after next starts the frame up and the concrete pouring. So we're at that phase right now. Most of the wall is gone. So that's where we are in the phase. All of the orifices have been done, all the mechanical stuff, removing of orifice drivers, all that kind of stuff. So all the orifices have been sealed up. A lot of the mechanical stuff is gone.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's just, yeah. Yeah. So that's where we are. That's where we are.
Not the big show.
As a result of this test.
So what remains to be done?
What remains to be done is all the concrete, the pouring of the concrete, for all the seal off walls and so that. So that and then the framing of that.
I don't have anything for spillway repairs or major rehab.
Rehab.
I got something.
Rehab unit. Unit 9 is scheduled to come back the latter part of March.
Okay.
And unit 7 is supposed to come back a month later, so the middle of April.
And you said 11 is December.
11 right now. Yeah, is scheduled for December.
December and now it's December.
Right. The last I heard with the PM right now, the technical lead is. It's December.
So back up to number 7, was that right?
Excuse me?
Ukraine. Unit 7, right?
Yes, 7 is April. 9 is March.
That will be done?
Yeah.
Good. That's a long
time. Wow. Yeah, there's a little bit of, like, you know, unit testing and things like that, some electrical stuff.
December.
But we will be done with, quote-unquote, the large rehab portion of it.
That's the day you guys got to crack open the champagne bottles.
Break the bubbly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Send a champagne bottle through turbines.
Yeah, put a little more stuff on this stuff.
And a little longer.
The last one, the fish unit trash rate. I don't know, John, do you know anything about that, other than us inquiring from engineering about
what the problem is? No response from engineering.
It's fading away again, I can feel it.
No.
I have
trash rack. What's trash rack?
When I saw it was on the agenda, I emailed the project, and we were trying to get a hold of the engineer on the project to find out what the next phase of this stuff was. And I didn't hear back from him. So, but I will
check to see if it's still out there, or maybe
it's scrap metal.
We're thinking it may be a good anchor for the BGS.
Yeah. Don't drill the holes too big.
Anyway, I promise to have something by next bigger weight, and maybe even have the engineer here.
Do you sense any flexion?
Yeah. I have two others whenever we want to get to them.
Okay.
Now?
Yeah.
Casket Island TG.
Okay.
T what?
TDG. Casket Island TDG from the adult letter.
Yeah, I saw some email traffic on that.
From which tackle?
So, this is an issue that's been there ever since that ladder has probably been there.
Yeah.
So, what's the problem, I guess? And what do we invest in investigating it further?
Yeah, I think it's even more exacerbated with the bell-shaped entrance we have now and the valve operating even farther open. You know, we're seeing much larger valve openings at 5.3 than we had in the past. And there's a lot of air entrainment out there. I think the bios can speak to that.
Okay, so is there an adult passage issue? Or
I don't know if there's an adult passage issue.
I'd say it's more for water quality.
I,
Cascades the Cascade Island Gauge, tripping the Cascade Island Gauge.
Which impacts your spill and corner
collector spillway ops. Right.
Which impacts your corner collector spillway ops for amount of gas that is...
When we're not spilling.
Yeah, when you're not spilling. So you can't turn the corner collector because you have concerns about that because of that. And it's basically, I think, a pretty non-really existing because, I mean, you're putting gas in such a small area, it just happens to be going right where the monitor is. So unless
you... Locate the monitor.
Yeah, well, you know, I would suggest that.
More favorable spot.
Yeah, there you go. I'm just saying...
We did that already.
A little different now. So I'm just saying, is there a way to take a look at that and see, is there an easy fix for that? Or are we going to have to figure something out on this?
So
we asked Steve Schlinker to come out and kind of do an evaluation about how those valves are operating compared to how they used to operate with this new orifice, with that new gate there.
Problem before that.
There was a little, the gas problem was before that, now I think it's...
But it's bubbling up through the diffuser, so you can see it kind of raging through the diffuser. So
it's always done that.
So,
but you know, there's a condition where, and maybe there is an operational solution, and I wonder if operations can't toy with this, where you got to put your diffusers out of criteria, but you flood basically that air channel by having, I think, more diffusers closed was the condition, and the bubbles stop. I remember Larry Beck played with that years ago. And got it to stop the bubbles by the way he changed the diffuser configuration in the entrance area down there.
And how did that impact the entrance area then?
It's, you know, your diffuser criteria. I don't know.
You got to be careful with your diffuser if you're blowing off. Great, that's part of a...
Call back on contract.
Well, you start blowing diffusers off the wall.
That's all I remember about it. I don't think we took the head out of criteria when he did it, but... There's just, you know, in the plan, there's a diffuser pattern you're supposed to follow.
Oh,
and he changed that pattern.
Yeah. Well, we have changed the pattern. The new entrance Schlinker has changed the diffuser pattern.
But he probably didn't do gas in that at all. He didn't consider gas in that at all, I'm pretty sure.
So I don't know what these, maybe these just force that affects some other, how if it's flooding the air channel, there's that chamber that allows air into there. When it's operating correctly, you can look down there and see water shooting under the gate, right?
Yeah,
and I think that's when the entrainment condition occurs. I mean, your TDG condition probably occurs.
Yeah, well, I just looking.
You mean up at the valve?
Mm-hmm.
It's a tainer valve with a shaft.
Yeah,
so the water comes through, falls down that shaft, and sucks the air right in with the conduit. So, it's kind of a, you know, the design and how air entrains in it is, you know, right at the valve itself.
So, or do we need to bring this into Fitterwig and stand up a PDT and get it on the SCT budget?
Well, I guess if there's an operational fix that's acceptable, I
could go that way. Pursue that.
Yeah.
Well, can Nepalm work that?
Oh, God, don't put Nepalm.
Do it not only at Cascades Island, but at B Branch. And when Catherine Tackley did her study, she found it to be the tainer valve itself. I mean, we also have the problem at FB11. And we can't change any configuration.
I don't know that there's a lot of we have.
I'm just
throwing
up there because we're having
operational
issues by the gas created from Cascade Island.
Well, if this limits corner collector operation early in the season, which it might,
so for Kelts, you're thinking, pre-spill corner collector.
Yep, without spill there, you're going to have a passage.
But if it's not an adult problem, it's just the locations of the monitor is not giving you a true reading of what you want, then why not move the monitor?
We need the water quality team to come back and move that monitor.
Well, there you go. Why go through all this for...
Review that monitor.
You're talking preseason before spill starts.
Yeah, I know. That's where you get...
The Camus Washougal gauge is used as the tail race gauge.
Hopefully for not much longer.
You can't use the one in the stilling basin because your corner collector is below it.
Right. So how much is still affecting the Washougal gauge on the other side of the river? I don't know.
Well, we're seeing effects from it.
Yeah. No, I agree. It needs to be fixed. You're not going to fix it by moving the Cascade
gauge. But we're not using the Camus Washougal that either. Isn't this the jump monitors? Are we looking at, like...
Well, it's used for that also.
Yeah.
But the Camus Washougal is going away.
No, don't write that.
Well, yeah.
other gauges it was it using for chum management.
It was also being maintained as a winter gauge for storm surges to get an idea of what the gas levels were.
Let me say it's not going away, but its use to limit spill is going away.
Being used differently. It's not being used for this regular spill season.
It was a waiver. Is that right?
Right.
Well, maybe it doesn't matter then. It's up to you guys. I mean, it's one thing at the Cascade Island gauge, which isn't going away. You will exceed standards.
And you still have to report them to DEQ and Washington.
You're going to have people pounding on you. I don't know if it's a fish issue as much as it is a compliance issue, really. So I don't think we've seen any effect on fish as a result of it. I'm not saying we looked that close either.
We're going to probably need Steve to help if we even look at an operational fix, because he's the one that set the patterns in the Cascade Island one.
I'm just worried that if it's all at the valve, then
not like
you're not going to have a whole lot of options.
This is an issue that needs to be put to bed. We've been bouncing off of this for several years now.
Yeah, what's the other
are we going to see a FOP anytime in the near future? If I'm supposed to make comments on FPP, I kind of know what you guys are thinking of doing. I'm just so funny.
I'm looking at the division guy here, because the FOP is kind of a new thing that we started doing for the
FPP.
For the court, you know, for
the court.
For
yeah,
the court. Really
fish operation plan to go on fish pass.
We've not initiated that here at the district. The division has done that and folded it into the FPP.
Fish operation plan. Well, I guess I'll throw the stinky shad on there. What are we doing for summer?
For summer?
Summer at Bonneville.
85 gas cap, till otherwise. Okay. I threw this out at SRWG in October and said, look, we've got enough fish to potentially do a summer spill test if we want it.
That's my point. There was talk about it. I'm just going, sometime we're going to, because I'm supposed to provide comments to Tammy about the FPP, and I'd like to comment on the whole plan instead of parts of it.
You know, we've been talking about it.
So oh, I know. I just didn't know everyone else has known.
So
the federal group hasn't all come to a conclusion yet. When we do, then there will be some more discussions.
Then I won't even talk about the question.
Throw out there for broader review.
Beyond that, I mean, operations for next year for the lower river, I can tell you what we're doing other than Bonneville summer. Is a little up in the air still. John Day is going to be 30 versus 40 spring and summer.
Single treatment.
No, spring and summer.
But single treatment. I mean, a single release.
Single release. The Dalles is 40%, and Bonneville is 100K.
Spring
flat.
And then right summer now the plan is 85 total long gas for...
Until we get agreement to change that.
Okay.
Looking at possible treatment tests.
Okay.
Lunch. Anything else? Oh, next Critter Week meeting. Hold on a minute. Oh, go ahead.
I talked to Harry Galanopoulos, and if you can tentatively mark January 26th, that looks like it will work.
22nd?
26th.
Oh, 6th.
26th to go look at John Day?
January 26th, the John Day fish exit.
Now we can do a drive-by at the Dalles. Look, it's a wall.
Okay, thank you.
Are you all coming back after
January
lunch?
26th?
Is it going to be here?
January.
Oh, January.
I don't know if I want to get first again.
I'll be on the phone.
I've only been first twice.
Didn't they give you a badge?
Oh, it doesn't matter. Every time you go in and out, you get wanted.
You want it? You got to get a phone? You got a phone? Okay, well, let's get to the next part of the meeting here first.
Certain bags and everything like that? That's why I left my bag here. They will redo your bag.
Is it? Did I? Did I schedule enough? Did I start doing them all again?
So this is the John Day North Ladder.
Every 2 months.
John Day, yes.
Right. That's what I wanted to do, but I thought...
John Day.
So then it would be in March...
North Ladder exit.
The Thursday, the last Thursday, was it?
25th.
Is that right?
Yep.
Last Thursday in March? Yeah. Or March 25th.
March 25th.
These are fours?
Yes.
Same
time as our spillway conference. The Dalles.
Yeah, I know that works for me.
Okay.
March?
March 25th. 9 o'clock. Trying to get the summit room here.
Yeah, maybe we might be somewhere else. As much fun as I had being through security now.
March Madness.
You know, this is the one meeting that's really hard to do outside the district here.
Just make sure
FYI, I did send out that McNary Gatewell study. I got the final FY10 folded back and going today. So I just went down and sent it to all our
wind.
The lighting
study. Gatewell lighting study.
Sure. Good.
I see you guys at one.
I guess it's going to be fairly short.
I think it'll be, I don't see a lot of, unless you guys tell me otherwise, I don't see a lot of issues with this.
What are we going to do, tell you, no, we don't want you to do that research?
Yeah.
We've already told you that.
Right.
And it's going to just tell us what you want.
How you end up with 11
pages.
Okay.
Let's get
that out there. What? Exactly.
Oh, I know.
Estuary, baby. Estuary.
Thank you. You done already?
They're being reviewed right now.
Yep,
they're in ISRP.
Wow.
I've got them in the queue. Blaine sent them in.
Thank you.
Find them on New Year's Eve.
There's a New Year's resolution.
Happy New Year.
I did for some reason. I don't know if it was.
No, I want to all
of them.
Yeah, I just want to a lot of them. Yeah, I've been like a top
I hate that.
Yeah, really.